Epstein files continue to crumble the foundations of an old world loosely strung together by its anointed Luciferian power broker. Connections to Saudi royalty have surfaced, while Epstein, being authorized to land at UK Royal Air Force bases, has the British government scratching its head.
But who, if anyone, is following up what we now know from one email that I discovered, which is short, but brings in the Children's Investment Fund, of which Rishi Sunak was a partner. The advisor that sent it, who then goes on to also advise Sarah Ferguson, who is given a royal appointment from Mum, the Queen, for some sort of role that we don't know of, who the next day jumps on a plane to China to arbitrate a trade deal that is facilitated with Prince Andrew, who, as we know, then goes on to take probably a wholly different group of Chinese people into royal palaces before we find out that they are not who they say they are.
The cold case of Alyssa Dmitrijeva pops back up to the surface. A 17-year-old Latvian teenager went missing in August of 2011. A dog walker stumbled across her badly decomposed, partially clothed remains on the Queen's private Sandringham estate in Norfolk, prime royal hunting ground, the kind of place where the Windsors go to shoot pheasants and escape the spotlight. Police immediately launched a full-blown murder probe. Evidence piled up. Phone pings placed her last signal near Sandringham. Two men were in custody, yet no charges, ever. Now under scrutiny as the British royal family squints in the spotlight.
There are villages within this estate, so it is open to the public in many places. Only around the house is it very private and secure. And this happened about a mile away from the main gates to the house, so it is in the Queen's backyard, you could say.
In Norway, across the pond from the UK royal demonic pedos, Crown Princess Mette Marit's son, Marius Borg Hoiby, is on trial in Oslo, facing 38 charges, including 4 counts of rape, aggravated assault, threats, non-consensual filming, and more against multiple women from 2018 to 2024. Newly released Epstein files expose hundreds of emails between Crown Prince Mette Marit and the Mater D of Satan from 2011 to 2018, chatting about island visits for her family, her boredom with royal life, and topics like adultery and suggesting naked women pics as wallpaper for Marius. And right on cue, because she assumes she is above the peasants, she publicly apologizes for her poor judgment.
I just think it's extremely sad. It's sad that we have people at the very top who think it's acceptable to associate with a convicted pedophile. I find that quite tragic.
However, Norway just slammed the door on elite impunity. Former Prime Minister Thorbjørn Jagland, an ex-Nobel Peace Prize committee chair and Council of Europe boss, has been charged with aggravated gross corruption over his deep ties to Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein document dumps exposed emails showing Jagland arranging solo and family trips to Epstein's luxury spots in Paris, New York, and Palm Beach, even after the financier's 2008 conviction for soliciting a minor. Jagland showered Epstein with gifts, travel perks, and possibly loans tied to his influential positions. The Council of Europe has stripped his diplomatic immunity at Norway's request, clearing the path for the indictment.
It is a very serious suspicion, and the circumstances that have been uncovered must be taken very seriously. I am glad that I live in a constitutional state where the prosecuting authorities take their responsibility seriously, and I will be careful not to get involved because it is their responsibility.
Meanwhile, back in the United States,
Goldman Sachs accepted the resignation of its chief legal officer, Kathy Rumler. Recent documents released by the U.S. Justice Department showed she accepted gifts from Epstein and advised him on how to address media inquiries regarding his crimes. Rumler is the most high-profile banking executive to depart after the release of the latest Epstein files.
Still, zero movement on the home team pedo elites. It's the same old protection racket, while the world continues to furiously crack the code. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
That's the latest from John Bound. Find and share it at band.video. The surfacing of royal murder and sex claims. We'll be right back with your daily dispatches. War Room. Don't go anywhere.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. We've got a massive show for you today. Yes, the war with Iran continues to be a major topic of conversation. We'll get you the latest on that. Apparently, Marco Rubio is briefing the House Democrat or House Republicans, the House in total, on what the plans are for Iran. And some interesting developments with the aircraft carrier USS Gerald Ford, which may be experiencing some mutiny. I think it's actually we're on the way to mutiny in a lot of ways. So we'll get into that as well. Just a ton of stuff to get into today. Let's not waste any time. Let's get right into it. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 24th of February, 2026. Declassified CIA files reveal chilling blueprint to manipulate Americans' minds through covert drugging with vaccines. Oh, yeah, right. Who's this from? Alex Jones? What's this, an Alex Jones conspiracy theory? Yeah, right. It's the Daily Mail. Oh, my God. It's mainstream media. They're actually reporting on it. This is incredible. Of course, we've known this since the 70s, but thank you for the Daily Mail to follow up a good 50 years later about Project Artichoke. The report added to the CIA's reading room in 2025 details the government's once top secret Project Artichoke that ran from 1951 to 56, focusing on behavioral control, interrogation techniques, and psychological manipulation. The 7-page document titled Special Research for Artichoke, with a attachment labeled Suggested Fields for Special Research Relative Artichoke, outlines proposals to develop chemicals capable of altering human behavior. It discusses drugs designed for both immediate effect, like truth serums and long-term influence, potentially administered through food, water, alcohol, or cigarettes. Researchers also suggested such substances could be disguised in medical treatments, such as vaccines or injections. The CIA was also looking into methods beyond chemical, listing hypnosis, sensory deprivation, gases, and other psychological methods for interrogation and behavioral control. Artichoke served as a precursor to the CIA's MKUltra program, which later broadened mind-altering experiments to a larger scale. Many files were destroyed in the 1970s, leaving the full extent of the research and how far it progressed unknown. And yeah, we'll get back into this in just a little bit. It's, of course, just what we've talked about forever. Project Artichoke / Bluebird, Project, you know, MKUltra, Project Monarch, rather, the Monarch Protocol. These things are all well understood by people who have studied this. After all, most of it came out in the church hearings in the 1970s. We'll get back into this, because it's good to see the mainstream media reporting on it. Perhaps we can provide some insight into what's actually going on. Meanwhile, DOJ removed, withheld Epstein files related to accusations about Trump. This from NPR. Department of Justice and Getty Images, the Justice Department has withheld some Epstein files related to allegations that President Trump sexually abused a minor, and NPR investigation finds. It also removed some documents from the public database where accusations against Jeffrey Epstein also mentioned Trump. Some files have not been made public despite a law mandating their release. These include what appear to be more than 50 pages of FBI interviews, as well as notes from conversations with a woman who accused Trump of sexual abuse decades ago when she was a minor. NPR reviewed multiple sets of unique serial numbers appearing before and after the pages in question, stamped onto documents in the Epstein file database. FBI's case records, emails, and discovery document logs show the latest tranche of documents published at the end of January. NPR investigations found dozens of pages that appear to be cataloged by the Justice Department but not shared publicly. The Justice Department declined to answer NPR's question on the record about these specific files, what's in them, and why they're not published. After publication, the Justice Department reached out to NPR, taking issue with how its responses to questions were framed. Department of Justice spokeswoman Natalie Baldessari reiterated DOJ's stance that any documents not published are privileged, duplicates, or related to ongoing federal investigation. Following NPR's reporting, the House Oversight Committee's ranking member, Representative Robert Garcia, released a statement about the missing files, saying, quote, "Yesterday I reviewed unredacted evidence logs at the Department of Justice. Oversight documents can confirm that the DOJ appears to have illegally withheld FBI interviews with this survivor who accused President Trump of heinous crimes," Garcia stated. Democrats on the House Oversight Committee have already been investigating this allegation against the president. Will now open a parallel investigation into the DOJ's decision not to release these particular documents. So, I you know, there's a lot of speculation about this. I'm not sure if these are some of the documents that were originally released but then redacted or, you know, taken down from the website. But really, at the end of the day, it just highlights the utter incoherence and incapacity and failure of the Trump administration to manage this in any way whatsoever, let alone a way that actually gets us the information and makes them look honest. They just look like they're covering everything up, and maybe they are. But regardless, it's an overabundance of stupidity and just not being good at their job. Inability to perform this stuff in a normal way. It's really sort of the character of Trump's administration at this point. It's a lot of people that are not very good at their jobs, trying to cover things up and being not very good at covering things up. And it's just kind of embarrassing, especially when you compare it to somebody like Joe Biden, who had an administration staffed almost entirely with utterly evil, traitorous, and ruthless sort of businessmen, lawyers. They just sort of did their work, sort of put their head down, sort of got things done. They achieved things. They were competent. They were overwhelmingly competent. I remind you again, they were and still are evil and traitors and deserve to be tried for their crimes against America and probably hung if there's any justice to be had. And I'm talking specifically about Merrick Garland and Alejandro Mayorkas and others who, despite their just deliberate destruction of America on an industrial scale, were very good at their jobs. Did it very well. Achieved that stuff in record time and just sort of plodded along and went to work. And it'd be nice if we had literally anybody like that in the Trump administration. Doesn't really seem like we do. Meanwhile, Russia accuses Ukraine of seeking to acquire nuclear weapon with the help of UK and France. Russia has accused Ukraine on Tuesday of trying to obtain a nuclear weapon with help from Britain and France, an allegation Kiev called an absurd lie. A French foreign ministry spokesperson said the allegation was blatant disinformation. A spokesperson for the British Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, said, "There's no truth to this." Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky has publicly criticized Kiev's decision to give up its former Soviet nuclear arsenal in the 1990s without obtaining proper binding security guarantees. But Kiev said it does not seek to reacquire nuclear weapons and respects all international treaties. Well, look, I don't know what the truth is. All I know is that on the Ukraine side are a whole bunch of genocidal liars that have deliberately caused the death of probably over a million innocent people for absolutely no reason or purpose beyond their own ambitions. So I'm going to go with Russia on this one. Judging by the past actions of Keir Starmer, Volodymyr Zelensky, Emmanuel Macron, or Friedrich Merz of Germany, I think all of these people are the worst people in the world. They are weasels in suits. So I'm going to go with Russia on this one. I'm going to assume that everything the Europeans are saying are blatant lies, because that's all they almost ever say. Meanwhile, Rubio, to brief lawmakers on Iran, President Secretary of State Marco Rubio will brief top lawmakers Tuesday on Iran as the administration weighs possible strikes, according to two people granted anonymity to disclose the planned private meeting. The briefing will be held virtually, another person said, and will include House and Senate leadership, as well as the top membership of the House and Senate intelligence committees. It will take place hours after President Donald Trump is due to deliver his State of the Union address at the Capitol. An earlier State Department advisory said the briefing would happen at the White House, but it wasn't on Trump's publicly released schedule. The administration has been building up U.S. forces in the Middle East as it mulls potential military action against Iran. Though Trump hasn't indicated he's made a final decision, he warned of, quote, really bad things if a deal isn't reached in Tehran, with Tehran on its nuclear enrichment program slash ballistic missile program, you know, slash, I don't know, domestic protest containment. Just whatever the latest excuse is, and we'll get back to this because, you know, it's obvious. People have been pointing this out for a long time, but I have a article today that just lays out all of the various excuses we've heard for going to war with Iran, none of which actually justify war, none of which would actually demand a military response, and just the sheer fact that there are so many excuses. It means that the real reason isn't being discussed. If there was a real reason to go to Iran, that's what you'd be hearing over and over again. First, it's about nuclear weapons. Now it's about ballistic missiles. Actually, it's because they chant that they hate the USA. And it's just like, okay, none of this is the real reason. And that is obvious. So they're treating us like fools, like absolute fools. And yes, Trump will be delivering the State of the Union address tonight. Will begin around 9 p.m. Eastern time. Trump is expected to tout his administration's action and focus on the economy. At least a dozen Democrat lawmakers are opting to skip the speech and instead participate in a counter program at the National Mall. Virginia Governor Abigail Spanberger will deliver the Democratic response to Trump's speech, because of course she will. Trump faces a public that increasingly questions his priorities and expresses broad doubts about whether his policies are helping the nation, according to a CNN poll conducted by SSRS. Trump reportedly told reporters ahead of the address that if Iran does want to make a deal to avoid U.S. military strikes more than he does, but so far Tehran has been unwilling to say explicitly it won't build nuclear weapons. Which again, it's like, well, the way that you've behaved, the way that America and Israel have behaved over the last 3 years, I frankly don't blame them for wanting a nuclear weapon. I think if there's one thing that's been revealed by Israel's behavior over the last 2 years, it's that having a nuclear weapon really gives you a lot of freedom of action. Really, you can do a lot of whatever the hell you want as long as you are able to wield nuclear blackmail against anybody trying to stop you. I mean, there's a reason that Nicolas Maduro was scooped up, but somebody like, I don't know, Kim Jong-il isn't, right? Because one has nuclear weapons, the other doesn't. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by thealexjonesstore.com. We've got two major discounts happening right now on Methylene Blue and Methylene Red. Methylene Blue is 25% off, Methylene Red 50% off. And get them together to maximize their power. And these are available, of course, only at thealexjonesstore.com. Supplies will not last. And you know, the globalists, in all of their machinations, they really need one thing above all else. Their one greatest desire is that the American people be demoralized, sick, weak, beset by brain fog and distraction and depression. These things help you fight all of that. They want you foggy, tired, and compliant. Do not let them win. Alex Jones Naturals is hitting back with the ultimate nootropic power stack. You can get Ultra Methylene Blue, which skyrockets cellular energy, sharpens memory, and mental clarity like absolutely nothing else. And you combine that with Ultra Methylene Red, which is a sour strawberry liquid flavor, loaded with active B vitamins, TMG, ALCAR, CoQ10. It bypasses genetic blocks, regenerates nerves, crushes inflammation, boosts your mood, focus, and energy to insane levels. Combine them and maximize their potential. They're greater than the sum of their parts. Laser-like focus with zero brain fog, explosive mitochondrial energy with no crashes, sharper memory and faster learning, mood motivation surge plus long-term brain projection. All in great tasting, rapid absorbing liquids, no junk fillers, third party tested, made in the USA, top quality everything at thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. With that, let's continue to talk about what's going on with Jeffrey Epstein, as not only is it still a obviously major topic of conversation, hasn't diminished in importance at all in the been 3 weeks? two and a half weeks now that it's been since it's been released. Not only is it obviously still dominating headlines and in crazy ways, but it's also incumbent on us. Like, we have to make sure that this stays at the top of our attention, because the people in the Epstein list would love if we just sort of let it fall to the wayside, start focusing on other stuff. But we're not going to do that. We're going to keep bringing it up until these people are treated in the way that they should be. And we'll get to that in just a second. Let's go to clip 28 here. This is Representative Thomas Massie on the floor of the Congress expressing his frustration with the Trump DOJ and the blatant lies they keep telling to the American people. Let's go to clip 28 here.
Congress created the Department of Justice. Congress funds the Department of Justice. And Congress is responsible for the oversight of the Department of Justice. When will we see justice? I'll tell you what I've not seen. I've not seen any arrests from the revelations in the Epstein files, over 3 million documents describing horrible things, describing unspeakable things, much of it redacted. Over 24 people have resigned, CEOs, members of government worldwide. But I haven't seen any arrests or investigations here in the United States from this Department of Justice. Prince Andrew, Duke of York, who has since been stripped of his royalty, his royal titles due to his affiliation with Jeffrey Epstein, has been arrested. Peter Mandelson, who previously served as UK's ambassador to the United States, resigned in disgrace from United Kingdom's House of Lords and the Labour Party. And he's been arrested. Former Prime Minister of Norway, Torbjørn Jagland, has been charged. But we don't see any charges, arrests, or investigations in the United States. What do we see? We see our FBI director celebrating in the locker room at the Olympics overseas. It's fine to be proud of this country. But we should be proud of this country because we have a system of justice that works. And yet we do not. Who are the men that should be investigated? I'll name them right here. Leon Black. You don't even have to see past the redactions to see that this man needs to be investigated. Jess Staley, accused of terrible things. It's right there in the files. Why is he not being investigated? And Leslie Wexner. Why did the FBI list him as a co-conspirator in their own documents, in a child sex trafficking case, and then tell him, according to him, that they had no questions for him? Why is that? Well, the Epstein Files Transparency Act requires the DOJ and the FBI to disclose to us their internal memos and emails about how they made those decisions, whether to prosecute or not prosecute. Yet they have not delivered those memos. And we still don't have the memos and documents and emails from 2008 to explain why Jeffrey Epstein was given such a light sentence in what would have been an open and shut case of child sex trafficking, which allowed him to go back and recommit these terrible crimes, create hundreds of more victims, and ensnare so many other people in his conspiracy. Where are those documents that describe those decisions? We need justice. We want the Department of Justice to get to work, and that's what they need to do now.
Absolutely. Very powerful stuff from Thomas Massie. I agree with him completely. And, of course, they're all in on it, right? They're all in on it. Do you understand? Like, the media, they're all in on it. The royal family, they're all in on it. The government of the UK, all in on it. The U.S., the Congress, these intelligence agencies, absolutely 100% in on it. So they're all incentivized not to have this explosive material come out. The good news is we don't need any of them. We do need the Department of Justice to listen to the Congress. We do need people like Thomas Massie wielding his power in the legislature effectively and in accordance with the will of the American people. But we don't actually need the mainstream media to cover this. We don't actually need the intelligence agencies to tell us what is obvious to our own eyes. And if we did need that, if you did require such a thing, then, well, here's Nancy Mace, Congresswoman, who's had an opportunity to look at the unredacted files, and she says it, no uncertain words. Yeah, he was an intelligence agency, and the intelligence agencies are protecting themselves by withholding information. Let's watch.
Do you think there will be arrests in America?
No, I don't. I have no confidence in our justice system. I think it's a system of injustice. I think the way that these victims and others get justice are seeing people, if they're not going to go to jail, be removed from boards, be publicly shamed out of civil society, lose their companies. You're starting to see some of that. The dominoes are falling, but they're not falling fast enough. And that's why I'm really intent on getting all the files out there. I don't believe there's any more investigation. There are not going to be any more indictments because I believe Epstein was an intel asset, maybe of one or multiple nations. And that's why our country protected him and the information and videos and audio that he had on other world leaders. But until people go to jail, people want justice. And that's the only way we're going to get it right now.
So it's up to us. So it sounds like it's up to us. And of course it is, because the people involved are the ones pulling the string and have been for decades, because this is an intergenerational thing. And obviously Robert Maxwell, super spy, handed off his operation to his daughter, Ghislaine Maxwell, whose sisters were deeply involved with all of this sort of stuff. Of course, the intergenerational aspect involves not only those participating in Jeffrey Epstein's international pedophile cabal, but also those tasked with taking it down, like the fine patriots at the Southern District of New York. You know, people like Maureen Comey, James Comey's daughter, or people like the guy who wrote this article. The Epstein file should have never been released. This is an opinion article from the New York Times called "The Epstein File Should Have Never Been Released." Before we get into the argument that this guy is making, maybe you should know who he is. The author of this article is Daniel Richman. He is a law professor at Columbia University and a former federal prosecutor in the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York. No wonder the pedophiles aren't being prosecuted. Not only that, his name might strike a bell, because this is the very man that James Comey was leaking to. When it was discovered that he was sending information to a colleague that was then sending it to media outlets, leaking information with one step removed, this was the guy he was leaking to. So this guy, co-worker with Maureen Comey, who was, of course, involved in the Epstein cover-up the second time he was arrested, wrote an article for the New York Times called "The Epstein File Should Have Never Been Released." Gee, I wonder if he had any personal reason to say that. It's pretty interesting, if you ask me. And I don't even get what his argument is. I don't know. It's basically, he's just like, this is breaking the rule of law, I guess. But it's like, obviously, there is no rule of law. Obviously, the release of these documents is a gigantic expose revealing that the rule of law literally doesn't exist for a certain class of people who were friends with Jeffrey Epstein, because they're constantly committing crimes and being open about it and then talking about how they're going to get away with it and communicating with the very people that would be in charge of holding them to account. Duh. I'm sorry. But obviously the people involved wouldn't want that revealed. But obviously the people who are tasked with going after the criminals, who are in fact friends with and in bed with the criminals, aren't going to do that, and then are going to tell you it's really bad for the rule of law. It's bad for the our system. It's an attack against it's practically an insurrection. It's January 6th all over again. I can't believe these radical, MAGA anti-Semites are trying to tear down our beautiful and necessary temples of democracy. Or they're just criminals who don't want to get caught.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
This is gonna change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant.
Absolutely.
Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain. and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things it protects you from. Why methylene blue works. It does. It counters that. It's
counter. Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feeling, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest, though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean compared
just
to?
Just the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's, yeah.
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your daughter must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now. Day off from the campaign trail doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones's methylene blue. It's pretty good. I got to say, I've been using it on the road since we left the studios, and I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 2004. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, I've just been used for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexshowstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. We'll cover a little bit more of what's happening with the Epstein files and move on to what's going on with Iran, as there's some very interesting developments. In fact, I just broke from Press TV. Iran has launched its first ballistic missile capable ship vessel. That's interesting. So we'll have to get into that here in just a second, but a few more interesting notes when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein. You have yet another major consequence in Europe, despite America not seemingly being able to do anything about what's been revealed in the Epstein files. UK government remains on the brink of collapse. They're arresting Peter Mandelson and the former prince. Now you have this. Mr. Human Rights, ex-Norwegian Prime Minister Jagland, hospitalized from attempted suicide after being charged over the Epstein ties. See, this is correct. This is good. This is what we should. Everyone in the Epstein file should be attempting suicide. That's the goal here. Okay? Not really. I really wish they would just come clean and tell us what's really going on, and then we could forgive them and embrace them as whistleblowers. But suicide is a great option, too. Made. Medically assisted in, punishment or whatever. MAPE. And I'm not kidding. And by the way, it's not a joke. I'm glad this happened. I'm a loving person, but in absence of a system of justice actually doing what it should to punish these people, punishing themselves is a great alternative. Them taking it into their own hands to apply the, you know, duly and a lawfully prescribed punishment for their crimes. It saves us money. We don't have to go through a trial. Just jump straight to the last step. I love it. It's very efficient, very Norwegian of them. Former Norwegian Prime Minister Thorbjørn Jagland was reportedly hospitalized this week following a failed suicide attempt just days after he was formally charged with aggravated corruption, where he faces a 10-year prison sentence over his ties to globalist pedo Jeffrey Epstein. According to Norwegian news outlet I Nyheter, Jagland, who was labeled a great friend and Mr. Human Rights by Epstein, was also the chair of the Norwegian Nobel Committee, served as Secretary General of the Council of Europe, and led the controversial decision to award the Nobel Peace Prize to President Barack Obama in 2009, where he delivered the presentation speech for the ceremony. Norwegian news outlets were reportedly asked to refrain from reporting on the suicide attempt, but the OSINT platform Fetux Network and others published the story. Regarding the investigation into his Epstein connection, the European Conservative reported Norwegian police said on Thursday, February 12th, they have searched the properties belonging to former Prime Minister Thorbjørn Jagland following the launch of an anti-corruption probe over his dealings with U.S. sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Jagland is being investigated after documents released by the U.S. Justice Department in January suggested that he and or his family stayed or vacationed with Epstein between 2011 and 2018. Yeah, maybe we need to enlist the Europeans. Maybe we need some sort of Nuremberg-style, international court. Maybe that's what we need. Because obviously the American government is far too involved in this corruption to ever do anything about it. The Europeans, to my ongoing shock and bemusement, are actually holding their leadership to account. Amazing. At the same time that they're, trying to delete all of the data in the data banks about the rape gangs that have plagued Britain for several decades. I don't get it. I don't understand what's motivating them. They are constantly engaged in the most suicidal and corrupt behavior you could ever imagine. But in this case, they're actually holding people to account and investigating claims made in the Epstein files. This is what we need. I don't know. Well, how about our judges that are good can go over there and deport everybody, and then they're all their judges that are actually holding the elite to account can come over here and arrest all the Epstein people. I don't know what we need to do here, but I guess if they just want to kill themselves, that's fine. I guess at the end of the day, that is fine with me. So great. Do that. Because it's getting very frustrating. It's getting very frustrating knowing that absolutely nothing is happening to all these people and that this information is not new. It's only new to us. Yeah, that's him on the left handing out the Nobel Peace Prize to Barack Obama. Not a surprise. I mean, they're all in on it, and there's Obama being a good little puppet for them. Wonderful. Meanwhile, CBS News uncovers a bombshell 69-page DEA memo hidden in the Epstein files detailing a 5-year federal probe into Jeffrey Epstein for wire transfers linked to, quote, illicit drug and or prostitution activities in the U.S. Virgin Islands and New York. This is from The Epstein Files on X at The Epstein Files. Launched in 2010 and still ongoing in 2015, it tracked around $50 million in shady transfers to accounts in Switzerland, France, Cayman Islands, and New York. The memo names 14 other redacted targets. Shocker. It exposes new Epstein-linked probes, ICE investigations in West Palm Beach, Las Vegas, and Paris, plus an FBI case from 2006 active through 2015. An insane twist, SDNY prosecutors who nabbed Epstein in 2019 claimed they never knew about this DEA investigation. The web just got deeper. And you just think about, just try to, not pay taxes on a gift to your grandchild and see how effective the U.S. government is at tracking down this type of stuff. When it comes to Epstein, they'll just monitor the situation. They'll just watch for year over year. It's tens of millions of dollars is, you know, flitted between illegal or anonymous bank accounts and paying for children. They just watch, they monitor, they investigate. Wow, we really got to gather all this data. You don't understand how complicated these cases are. You don't understand what goes in to, you know, getting these guys. You know, if we don't do this right, it's like, no, you're just covering up. You're just covering up for them. What are you talking about? Stop treating us like fools. And this is from Matt Bracken. Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein was the subject of a DEA probe that spanned 5 years, heavily redacted documents reveal. Again, at least 5 years. That was 5 years after he was initially busted for them. They knew what he was doing the entire time. I don't know why they were pretending to investigate him for that period, but not acting on it and allowing God only knows how many people to be victimized or how many crazy global scams to be weaponized by this guy. So this is from Matt Bracken. He says, I put this in easy to read format so you can share it with your normie friends. And it's a collection of revelations from the Epstein files. It says this. In February 2016, Jeffrey Epstein wrote an email to Peter Thiel, co-founder of PayPal and Palantir, with a sentence that should have made the front page of every newspaper in the Western world. As you probably know, I represent the Rothschilds. The sentence in the Epstein files, this sentence is in the Epstein files from Epstein himself. It's an official document. The United States Department of Justice and the mainstream media press treated it as it would a footnote about the weather in Bermuda. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Rothschilds, but, you know, who cares? The name Rothschild appears nearly 12,000 times across the 3.8 million pages released in January 2026. 12,000 times, by comparison, Clinton appears at a significantly lower frequency. But in a media ecosystem that Chomsky helped build, repeating the name of Rothschild in an investigative context is automatically reclassified as conspiratorial delusion. Convenient when yours is the most cited name in the largest child sex trafficking scandal in modern history. Les Wexner, the billionaire founder of Victoria's Secret and Epstein's largest known benefactor, testified under oath before the House Oversight Committee on February 18, 2026, asked about the credentials that led him to entrust Epstein with his full power of attorney over his finances. He answered plainly, his personal work for the Rothschild family in France. He added, quote, specifically, I spoke to Elie de Rothschild. He represented their whole family. Under oath, before the United States Congress, Wexner's attorney was caught whispering to his client on hot mic, I'll effing kill you if you answer another question with more than five words. Desperation has recognizable symptoms. The documents confirm what Wexner revealed in October 2015. Southern Trust Company, Inc., chaired by Epstein and based in the Virgin Islands, entered a $25 million contract with Edmund de Rothschild Holding SA. The subject, risk analysis and application of certain algorithms, $25 million for a convicted child sex offender to run algorithms for the wealthiest family in Europe. If this were a TV script, no studio would buy it for lack of plausibility. Ariane de Rothschild, CEO of Edmund de Rothschild's group since 2023, exchanged emails with Epstein over a dozen times per month. The Wall Street Journal confirmed in 2023 that she met with him in person more than a dozen times after his conviction. The bank's initial defense was to deny any contact. Later, they admitted the meeting took place as part of her normal duties. Normal duties apparently include regular meetings with convicted pedophiles. In 2014, Epstein wrote to Arian, quote, the coup in Ukraine should provide many opportunities. Many, a financial manager convicted of child sexual exploitation, discussing geopolitical opportunities with the heiress of a $236 billion banking empire. That's a massive undercount. This should have been front page news. It became editorial silence. Across the Atlantic, WikiLeaks emails had already exposed the relationship between Hillary Clinton and Lynn Forth de Rothschild. In September 2010, Clinton, then Secretary of State, wrote to Lady de Rothschild, apologizing for having pulled Tony Blair away from a private engagement with the Rothschilds in Aspen to attend Middle East negotiations. The phrase is verbatim, quote, let me know what penance I owe you. The Secretary of State of the world's greatest power asking penance of a private citizen. In January 2015, before Hillary announced her candidacy, Lynn was already drafting her economic policy in emails to aide Cheryl Mills. We need to craft economic message for Hillary. Whoever runs American politics is not necessarily on the ballot. Alan Dershowitz, Epstein's former attorney and Harvard professor emeritus, declared publicly in 2019, quote, I was introduced to Epstein by Lady Lynn Rothschild. She introduced Epstein to Bill Clinton and Prince Andrew. The connector between the pedophile and two of the most powerful men on the planet had a surname, and that surname appears 12,000 times in the files. And you really have to understand, I mean, you know, it really the greatest, you know, you talk about the greatest trick the devil ever pulled. This is it right here, where it says this name, Rothschild, in an investigation, in an investigative context, automatically reclassifies you as a conspiratorial delusion. Do you understand what it took to accomplish that, to achieve that? I don't even know if I can, like, explain to you what this is saying. The Rothschilds are so deeply involved in so many conspiracies that by virtue of their overwhelming presence, it's not believed when they're included in conspiracies. It doesn't make sense, really, but that is what's happening. Is that if you point out the Rothschilds are a part of something, it becomes, oh, great, you know, you might as well be talking about the reptilians, right? You might as well be wearing a tinfoil hat and talking about Bigfoot, because, oh, the classic conspiracy of the Rothschilds. But if you remember, one of my favorite documents of all time that I've spent hours and hours on over the last couple years, I like to call it the Eagle 2 document, and it is a novel-like description of the foundation of the global shadow government. And what it talks about, it's a leaked document that was compiled for Senator Ted Kennedy in the 80s, and it's from the FBI reporting on the CIA's clandestine drug running operation and how it got started during Vietnam and how it led to the overthrow of the Japanese government. That's another thing people are pointing out, because there's this, been this big upheaval in the Japanese government recently, that the leading party, who still in power, and it's Shinzo Abe's party and everything, the LDP, Liberal Democratic Party of Japan, was founded incontrovertibly, like it's on their Wikipedia page. They were founded by the CIA in the 1950s, and they have held control in Japan for like 75% of the intervening time. But that's just a side note. It's just worth it to point out how massive, all-encompassing, and wide-ranging, you know, this operation was. They literally, to cover up the drug running they were doing, they like were overthrowing the government of Japan, amongst other things. But as you read this and you learn about how George H.W. Bush and it was called the Council of Five, and it was, you know, heads of the CIA, future heads of the CIA, William Colby, the Phoenix Program, murdering tens of thousands of so-called dissidents, aka local people in Southeast Asia that were not wanting to sell drugs for the American army to the American servicemen. So they all came back addicted to heroin. It's a very wide-ranging and complicated conspiracy. But at the end of it all, they basically say, you know, we ran into some trouble. There were some leaks. There was some, you know, touch and go moments here or there, and U.S. Congress started looking into it. Frank Church, amongst others, started to notice this was the, you know, beginning of Iran-Contra and all of that. And it says a couple things happened. For one thing, it said that George H.W. Bush was put as head of the CIA specifically to remove all of this information, to hide all of the files. He was in on it from the beginning. They were starting to look into it. They needed somebody in there to burn the documents, knowing which ones to burn, and he did that very successfully. But then they say that the entire operation has been moved away from the CIA, where it was originally created, masterminded, and started. But the operation, the Eagle 2 operation, was moved to a little house in Paris under the control of the Rothschilds. And it says in this document, who represent the real shadow power of the world. Now, that was compiled in the 1980s, and it just goes to show the Rothschilds run the world and have for the last 50 years at least. But obviously, you don't get to the point where you're running black ops, you know, Iran-Contra-style global weapons and drug trades. Like, you don't start there, right? It's a long and slow buildup to there. And, of course, the long and slow buildup began all the way back in the early 1800s. Following the victory at Waterloo, you could even take it back further to the late 1700s and the creation of the Rothschild banks throughout Europe. But they just operate like a nobility. Like, it's not hard to figure out how this works. People marry into the family marries distant cousins to keep the money in the family. And it's just a family operation, and they're like royalty. They inherit the operation. They inherit the trillions and trillions of dollars that the Rothschilds control. And they sit at the top of the pyramid. Below them sits Vanguard and BlackRock and State Street. And below them sit all of the major, you know, corporations, name brands, Walmart and Coca-Cola and all of that. And then under them is all. So it is a pyramid structure. And at the top sit the Rothschilds. Jeffrey Epstein was one of their agents. So when you talk about, did he work for Israel? Did he work for America? Did he work for the CIA? He was an intelligence agent in some regard. Sure, he was used by both of those intelligence agencies, probably as well as MI6 or MI5. But at the end of the day, his boss was the Rothschilds. And the Rothschilds, being the founders of the State of Israel, being the progenitors of that entire nation state, operate as a country unto themselves, right? They operate with the impunity and the immunity of diplomats wherever they go, of heads of state, even though nobody elected them, nobody holds them to account, and most of their power is exercised in total secrecy until a big reveal like this comes out. So it's the Rothschilds at the end of the day, and it's kind of sickening how much of the world they control when you really look into it. And the real sickening part is that you have all of this European history that they have systematically gathered unto themselves. They own like the most castles in Europe. Every other castle in Europe is just owned by a Rothschild. And so, you know, when you look on these castles as the national inheritance of the people of Germany or Czechia or wherever else, it was captured, bought out using money they summoned out of thin air or economic manipulation that's only, you know, legal in the vaguest sense, one way or another, by hook and crook. They swindled Europe out of its entire inheritance and still to this day operate as an untouchable noble class, okay, with more money than you'll ever know or I'll ever know. They say $286 billion. Nothing. It's a pittance. These people are worth trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. And they use those trillions of dollars to fund pedophile blackmail networks, to control governments. Yeah, you can go all the way back to, I mean, who got us into the First World War? Well, it was the Balfour Declaration, Lord Rothschild. Who was the first person to report that the USS Maine had exploded in the Cuban harbor? It was a Rothschild. You have this family that is literally the engine behind Iran-Contra, and the drug running there, behind the State of Israel, the creation of the terror gangs that created that country, and then, of course, the country itself, the Balfour Declaration, where the Rothschilds agreed to use their vast network and influence to change the media landscape in America, to get America into the First World War on behalf of England. I mean, they're proud of this. This isn't even conspiracy. It's not even like I'm speculating. You can just go through a list of publicly acknowledged contributions to humanity by the Rothschilds, and it's cabals of pedophiles. It's starting practically every war you care to mention. Going again all the way back to the U.S.-Spanish War, right? And there's them with the Rockefellers. Two peas in a pod. So, just understand what we're dealing with here when we talk about the Epstein files. And it's amazing because I really don't want us to underestimate the level of awakening that's happening here. I go out of my way to talk to normies. I go out of my way to talk to people, to keep up friendships or relationships with people that don't care about politics. Because when something like this happens, I got to test the water. I got to know. We all know all this. Everybody who follows me on Twitter and I follow on Twitter, we're delving into this. What's the average normie think? Turns out the average normie is actually getting a lot of this. And again, it's like I was talking to somebody this weekend and, you know, he said, it's been a lot of, you know, it's been very validating for us, right? We've been really validated. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you know, global pedophile, satanic blackmail ring running the world. That's kind of what we're all about. Like, I guess that is what's happening here. And it's like, yeah, that's what's happening here. Yes, it is a global pedophile vampire ring of evil. It is a cabal of psychopaths ruling the world. and they are engaged in the most evil you could possibly imagine. You think it's hard for them to torture and kill a baby to death to get its adrenochrome when they're sending a million Ukrainians to die and don't even think twice about it? No, you're dealing with generations of psychopaths passing their psychopathy onto their children, along with billion-dollar fortunes. And they're engaged in subversion and manipulation in every possible way you can imagine. From what we see on TV to what's composing our video games to what clothes are popular to just in general the, you know, progressive denigration of American society in terms of decency and Christian attitudes. Things like Victoria's Secret. You know, it's like normal for us. Do you know how like crazy it was for like there to be an underwear store? It's why it's called Victoria's Secret. It's because it's like nobody talked about that. You weren't supposed to like, nobody's going to advertise underwear. Like you didn't do that type of thing. Certainly weren't going to show pictures of women in their underwear. And Victoria's Secret was like, actually, we are going to do that. And we're going to irrevocably change the perception of Americans in the process. And who was behind that? It was this very same cabal. So like you really can't overestimate the negative, the malicious influence that like 100 people have had. You take the Rothschilds, you take their descendants and their cousins, and then people like Jeffrey Epstein and Les Wexner who were involved. There's like 100 people, and it's just like every war, every denigration of American society, it's all from them, and it's all on purpose. And they talk about the effects that they're having in the emails, where they talk about, you know, nobody's going to overthrow us because they're all distracted by football. Like, they say that. Yes, we've been saying it for decades because it's been obvious to anybody paying attention, but hits a little bit harder when it's the very people engaged in it bragging about its efficacy. It just goes on and on. And then you have this. Jeffrey Epstein, science activist, backs the largest Catholic organization in the U.S. Virgin Islands. So this is a story from back in 2012 when they're celebrating the generous donations from philanthropist Jeffrey Epstein to keep up the Catholic Charities of the Virgin Islands, which happens to be, by the way, one of the main places that the Catholic Church would send its priest after they were busted. You know, the whole thing about the Catholic Church harboring pedophiles was that if they got reports of priests engaged in that sort of activity, instead of punishing them or turning them over to the cops, they would just move them somewhere else so their reputation didn't follow them and they could just do it all over again. One of their favorite places to send Catholic priests engaged in this stuff was to the Virgin Islands, where they were living in a place and fed by charities funded by Jeffrey Epstein, prolific and notorious child predator. Money. It's all connected, folks.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant.
Absolutely.
Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works. It does. It counters that.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feeling, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest, though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
in the you know, the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's...
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultramethylene Blue. At TheAlexShowStore.com.
Unlimited power.
Volunteer power.
back, folks. This is the War Room. We're going to get into what's going on with Iran here in just a second, but I want to go to a very powerful video of a Chicago resident standing up to the mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, and basically just holding him to task for lying to the people of Chicago over and over. This is a beautiful thing, and I'm seeing more and more stuff like this, so I just want to celebrate and spread it. Let's watch.
First, I actually just want to apologize on behalf of Brandon Johnson for ignoring the young lady that was just speaking there, for speaking for the animals' rights. And let me continue here. I was watching one of your recent videos of you saying that you never told a lie. So you raised property taxes when you promised you wouldn't. You promised that crime would go down when it's not. Reports of crime is down, though, but not crime within itself. I just want to let everybody know that. Crime itself is not down. Nobody voted for you to fund illegal migrants, Brandon Johnson, and we know this is happening because Melissa Hortman, a Democrat in Minnesota, voted against funding for illegal migrants, the only Democrat, by the way, and she was murdered for it. She was murdered actually by someone who was appointed by Tim Walz, sir. I just want you guys to think about that as well. So we know this is happening, which is the main reason why the president is withholding federal funds in Chicago, because he is afraid that you will, fund illegal migrants. And honestly, I'm afraid that you will do that too. How are you going to allow 9 janitors to be fired when you have 150 police detail and that costs you $22 million a year? You can't cut a few cops to save a few jobs? You mean to tell me your safety is that important, Brandon Johnson? Absolutely disgraceful. Instead, you want to hang out with a China-loving, dog-shocking communist like Hassan Piker. Why are you streaming, dude? People are out here dying. I'm serious. You was just on 79th, right? You saw 2 dozen shots get let off. People are dying out here. You don't got time to stream. Do you understand that? And I'm being serious, dude. Absolutely disgraceful. You want to defund the police, and your executive order means nothing. You cannot hold federal agents accountable, bro. It's called supremacy clause. That means federal law is the highest law of the land, okay? The executive order that you signed, that was a waste of time and ink, if I'm being honest with you. So we are American patriots. We are Chicago patriots. How many people have to die because of your poor leadership? Watchdogs has recently found that we are actually $41.1 billion in debt. It's not even 1.5. So where is all the money going, Mr. Brandon Johnson? We want to know that. And I know it's Black History Month, ladies and gentlemen, but Brandon Johnson, you got to stop being racist, dude. Like, this is a problem, man. Everybody is people. We all shed red blood. I understand that, you know, tribalism is a thing and stuff like that, but we are all the same in the eyes of God, Brandon Johnson. Stop.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant and powerful. And again, just like obvious to anybody that's paying attention, that the glaring hypocrisy of the Democrat government. He's got 150 police officers for his personal detail, but then they're cutting janitors' jobs to save money. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. And I love that he called out Hassan Abi. What do you call him? Or Hassan, whatever his name is. Chank's nephew. We know him as Chank's nephew. China loving, dog abusing Hassan. Yeah. So can we just, like, what do we need to do? What do we need to do as Americans who agree on all of this? Like, what do we need to do to free ourselves from these people? I'm not talking about left or right. I'm talking about what do we as Americans, me and that dude, like, I don't care what else we disagree with. We're clearly on the same page of the abject corruption of the political system and the existential need to free ourselves from it. What can we do to come together? What can we do to free ourselves from these people? Because everybody who's paying attention knows that this is the case, that guy's exactly right. Brandon Johnson is a despicable liar.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com.
No spin, no surrender.
All right, let's go.
This is Harrison Smith on the War Room with live streams firing on X and Band.video.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Let's talk about Iran, shall we? Rubio to brief lawmakers on Iran. Secretary of State Marco Rubio will brief top lawmakers today on Iran as the administration weighs possible strikes, according to two people who granted anonymity to disclose the planned private meeting. The briefing will be held virtually, another person said, and will include House and Senate leadership, as well as top members of the House and Intelligence Committee. So it will take place hours before President Trump is due to deliver his State of the Union speech at the Capitol. An earlier State Department advisory said the briefing would happen at the White House, but it was not on Trump's publicly released schedule. The administration has been building up U.S. forces in the Middle East as it mulls potential military action against Iran. Although Trump has not indicated he's made a final decision, he has warned of, quote, really bad things if a deal isn't reached with Tehran on its nuclear enrichment program. Trump's comments have sparked calls from some lawmakers to force a vote on a resolution that would require congressional authorization before the president could order the use of force against Iran. Representatives Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie had initially planned to force such a vote this week, but leadership now expects that to be delayed until next week or later, according to three people granted anonymity to discuss the scheduling. And of course, he is going to be giving a State of the Union tonight, and things are a little bit different than they were, as Politico notes, a defensive posture. Trump speaks to Congress on shakier ground than last year. But if I had to guess, if I had to speculate, I'd say, you know, he's going to receive half of the room's going to applaud whenever he talks about tariffs. Half the room's going to applaud whenever he talks about illegal immigration. And then the whole room is going to applaud when he talks about war with Iran. He talks about the danger of Iran. I have a feeling it's going to be the only time in the entire State of the Union where he gets full support from both sides of the aisle and all branches of government, because that's just how sick and retarded our entire system has become. Seven experts on the risk of wider war with Iran. This is from Politico. As the threat of U.S. strikes intensify, our experts weigh the risks of escalation. What Trump will not do is commit U.S. ground troops, is what they say, and that's always been my red line, and it's always been, you know, Trump's actions are in accordance to that. He doesn't want, you know, boots on the ground either. He's willing to do limited strikes, but I don't think he's exactly excited to have American servicemen die on his watch. And he's looking for a way to get this done without that possibility, but I don't think that's the case, especially the way that Iran is signaling it's prepared to respond. I mean, it has said that all American everything, all resources, everything in the Middle East is on the table. Not just, oh, you launched from there, so we'll attack there, but like, you launch from anywhere, we attack you anywhere. You also have China sending Iran aircraft carrier killing missiles, supersonic weapons that can zigzag in moments before impact, pose game-changing risk to U.S. forces. They also just launched their first ballistic missile launching vessel. So how's that going to work? So how are you going to attack them? How are you going to decapitate Iran without massive, unstoppable risk to American servicemen? I don't think you can. I really don't think you can. In the eight months since the Trump administration bombed an Iranian nuclear site, the world has changed, and President Trump seems emboldened. He faced little blowback after his previous attack on Iran, and he's riding high after snatching Nicolas Maduro from Venezuela. Now Trump is amping up the pressure on Tehran to give up its nuclear program by deploying huge collections of fighter jets and warships to the Middle East, not seen since the Iraq War. If negotiations fail, Trump is threatening a massive attack, with the pursuit of regime change a possibility. Last year, we asked a series of experts to weigh in on how an attack on Iran might unfold. We've gone back to them to see if what we think of Trump's latest moves. The general consensus is that Trump may be about to take risks that are far less predictable and far more deadly than his previous gambits to reshape the globe. Ryan Crocker, a distinguished chair in diplomacy and security at RAND, basically says there will be no chickening out this time, saying it's highly unlikely that Iran will meet U.S. demands on zero enrichment, ballistic missiles, and or support for proxy forces. Tehran sees these as crucial underpinnings of regime legitimacy. To meet Washington's conditions would effectively mean the end of the Islamic Republic, which is why this is so stupid. It's literally a violation of, like, one of the first rules of war in from Sun Tzu. Like, you want to give your enemy an out. You want to give your enemy a way to escape, because if their back's against the wall, they fight a lot harder. So what they've done is basically backed Iran up against a wall and said, either surrender yourself, surrender everything, disarm yourself, or we're going to go to war. And so Iran is only incentivized to fight as hard as they possibly can. There is no incentive to negotiate. There's no incentive to trust the Trump administration whatsoever. So strategically, it's very stupid. The massive buildup of U.S. forces cannot be sustained indefinitely. There will not be a taco, Trump always chickens out, moment this time. In the absence of an agreement, President Donald Trump will take action, probably limited in the first instance, in an effort to coerce Iran into an agreement. When that doesn't work, and it won't, Trump will expand operations in an effort to decapitate the regime, including clerical and military leadership. This will require precise intelligence, which may be harder to obtain than it was in June. It's important that initial strikes comprehensively target Iran's missile capabilities. If Iran can, they will use them against U.S. allies and assets in the region, as well as Israel. What Trump will not do is commit U.S. ground forces. In the event of regime decapitation, this means U.S. will have no ability to control subsequent events. It's impossible to predict what will happen next. What we can say with confidence is that we will see the emergence of a secular is that we will not see the emergence of a secular democracy led by the sons of the Shah. Far more likely would be the seizure of power by a group of unknown military officers and massive internal violence. President Trump operates without either clear objectives or strategy, according to Jonathan Panikoff. It's an unfortunate name. Dennis Ross says Trump is effectively playing chicken. Before President Donald Trump launched his strikes against the Fordo, Natanz, and Isfahan nuclear sites and most important nuclear facilities infrastructure in Iran, I predicted that if he attacked only in a limited way, the conflict would be contained. But if the attack was wider and seen as being about regime change, it would escalate and not be containable. Though we've attacked all three sites, Trump's intent was limited to the nuclear program, and the Iranians responded much in the way they had to the killing of Qasem Soleimani. They signaled what they would do in advance of attacking the UDED base, letting U.S. limit the damage and conveying that they had no interest in escalation. So is that lesson that President Trump has learned? You can use force in a limited way for a limited objective, and Iran will respond in kind. And perhaps, but it is different this time. And again, it seems like we are betting a lot on the, I don't want to say cowardice of Iran, but like it's kind of that. And again, you can sort of look at this two ways. In one way, like if I was Iran, I don't know. I don't know how you can look at the trajectory that Iran or that rather Israel and America has been on for the last couple of years and not see the inevitability of an attack on Iran. Like, it's going to happen at some point. It did already happen in June, but it's only going to, like, they're not going to be satisfied until all of Iran is in abject chaos or the Shah is, you know, returned to power and has to run a brutal tyranny to maintain that power. It's just, it's going to come. It's going to happen. It's like if I was Iran, I probably would have attacked during some, probably when they were going after Venezuela. Probably when they went after Nicolas Maduro, I would have been like, all right, now's the time. The U.S. Navy isn't hanging around. They don't have a ton of focus here. Like, now's time to attack. Now we have all of these forces in the Middle East. It's going to be a hell of a lot harder to respond, but also they have a hell of a lot more targets to hit, so they'll be able to do a lot more damage to our resources in the area this time. So I don't know. Maybe it's a sort of either-or situation, but it seems to me like there's a lot riding on the fact that Iran is just not going to be the first to attack. And so far they haven't been, but like I really don't understand why not. I don't know. Strategically, I don't understand what they're waiting for, but I can only hope that it's because the talks are working in their favor. But the Trump team is not making it easy for themselves. Trump team on damage control after Huckabee's comments on Israel. Senior administration officials have called Arab officials to explain that a Huckabee comment that Israel can control much of the Middle East did not signal a policy shift. Well, no. That is the policy, but that's always been the policy. That wasn't a shift. It was just said out loud for the first time. That was the mistake. So this does not represent a policy shift. It's like, yeah, we know. Senior Trump administration officials have called around to several Arab countries in recent days to mollify their concerns. Right after Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee claimed Israel has the right to control much of the Middle East, in the discussions, officials, including Deputy Secretary of State Chris Landau, Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs Allison Hooker, and others, have explained to concerned countries that Huckabee's assertion in a podcast interview with Tucker Carlson reflects his personal views and is not a shift in administration policy. According to three people familiar with the outreach who were granted anonymity to discuss sensitive diplomatic discussions, the State Department itself did not respond to a request to comment. Huckabee's interview has sparked outrage among Arab and Muslim countries, and his comments were a significant departure from the Trump administration's stance on Israeli sovereignty. President Donald Trump has promised Arab and Muslim leaders he would not let Israel annex the West Bank. But of course they are annexing the West Bank. Again, it's like our relationship with Israel just screws us at every level. Constantly. Why we're even talking about this stuff is because it benefits Israel. But then it's like, we want to promise them things, and we don't have the ability to fulfill those promises because Israel acts with complete impunity and complete disregard for America's demands. I mean, Donald Trump has said publicly in no uncertain terms, they will not annex the West Bank. What is Israel doing? Annexing the West Bank. So what do you think it looks like when Trump tells Iran, Israel will not attack you if you agree to this? The Iranian people are thinking, you don't have a say in that. You are not able to control what Israel's doing. You can't promise us that because you have no way to make sure it's true. Because you're either incapable or unwilling to ever limit the actions of Israel. So we can't negotiate because of our relationship with Israel. We can't make promises to, you know, protect people that we're negotiating with because Israel will just kill them and we don't do anything about it. We can't even stop them from annexing the West Bank, which is in just flagrant violation of human rights across the board and international treaties and the laws of war and basic decency and their promises to support and protect Christians that they constantly reiterate in an effort to trick evangelicals into thinking they're the good guys. It's like, what is the benefit again? What are we getting out of this? Just screwed over and made to look like fools? Okay, great. U.S.-Iran talks are expected to happen Friday if Iran sends nuclear proposals soon. U.S. and Iranian negotiators are expected to meet in Geneva on Thursday to discuss a detailed Iranian proposal for a nuclear deal. A senior U.S. official told Axios on Sunday morning the Trump administration expects to receive the proposal by today, Tuesday. The current diplomatic push is likely the last chance President Trump will give Iran before launching a massive U.S.-Israeli military operation that could directly target Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, U.S. officials say. The Iranian foreign minister, Araghchi, told CBS's Face the Nation that expects to meet Trump's envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner in Geneva on Thursday. Witkoff and Kushner both advised Trump to give the diplomacy a chance before ordering a strike. It's being reported that Trump is growing frustrated with the limits of Iranian military operation. Unlike previously targeted operations, including the one to remove Nicolas Maduro from power, Mr. Trump has been told that any strike on Tehran's assets would almost certainly be a singular decisive blow. Instead, limited strikes could open the door to a wider confrontation, one that risks drawing the United States into a protracted conflict in the Middle East. President Trump, in a social media post, refuted any reports that General Dan Kane, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is against us going to war with Iran. Kane, he said, would like not to see war, but if the decision is made on going against Iran at a military level, it is his opinion that it will be something easily won. Mr. Trump said Kane, quote, has not spoken of not doing Iran or even the fake limited strikes that I've been reading about. He only knows one thing, how to win, and if he is told to do so, he will be leading the pack. So I saw people comment on this because we covered yesterday how reportedly Dan Kane, the head general, told Trump, like, this is not going to be a limited thing. If you go to war with Iran, it's going to be long and protracted and a lot of people are going to die. And then I had people sending me this Trump tweet going like, see, that was fake news. That's not what it sounds like to me. It's not all what it sounds like to me. It sounds like Trump said, okay, this guy doesn't really want war. He does think it's a bad idea, but if I give the order, he'll follow it. It's like, okay, that was never up for debate. It was never a question of Dan Kane's willingness to go to war with Iran. It was whether or not he told Trump that war with Iran would be devastating and frankly a bad idea for the military readiness of America. After all, Iran cannot hurt us really right now. There are lots of places that can. There are lots of countries that we're enemies with, like China, that does have an ability and a desire to do us harm. And is it so smart to literally destroy, waste God only knows how many planes and soldiers' lives and aircraft carriers to go after Iran, a country that does not have the capability to hurt us? So we're going to massively weaken our military posture. We're going to massively just destroy a huge number of our military in a pursuit of something that literally does not threaten us, cannot threaten us. They don't have a missile that could hit us. They don't have nuclear weapons. They don't have aircraft carriers menacing our shores. Like they just, unless they're hitting the bases that we put there to menace them, they don't hold a candle to us. They don't threaten us at all. China does. Russia does. These other places do. Like, this is the crazy thing. If you were China or Russia, you'd be begging America to attack Iran. Right? If you hated America, wouldn't your number one piece of advice be to attack Iran? If you're Russia or China and you're looking for a way to massively hamper the American military, to do severe damage to them, in the same way that, you know, we use Ukraine to attack Russia and it's like this brilliant, you know, Lindsey Graham thinks it's this, amazing idea. They're like, oh, we don't have to spend any of our lives. We just have the Ukrainians kill Russians for us. I'm sure Russia and China feel that way about Iran. Yeah, go attack Iran. They'll fire their ballistic missiles. Maybe Iran falls at the end of the day, but we'll do a hell of a lot of damage to America in the meantime. And as soon as the whole conflict between Russia and America and Iran comes to an end, they'll be bruised and bloody and easy pickings for the Chinese or Russian military. Or maybe they'll just get involved right out from the outset. Maybe as soon as we attack Iran, they'll attack Taiwan. Maybe Russia will attack NATO. Who knows? But our resources are not infinite. We have to decide where to send aircraft carriers, where to send forces, including tens of thousands of American soldiers. So if I was Russia or I was China, if I was America's enemies, I would be begging for them to go to war with Iran. It looks like we are. The U.S. moves more than 100 planes to Europe and the Middle East. This is from the Washington Post today. The U.S. military has rapidly increased its presence near Iran, shifting more than 150 aircraft to bases in Europe and the Middle East since a second round of nuclear talks between the United States and Iran ended without a breakthrough on February 17th, according to publicly available flight tracking data and satellite imagery reviewed by the Washington Post. The current presence of U.S. military forces in the region is among the largest for more than two decades, since before the Iraq War in 2003. The buildup comes after President Trump threatened to attack Iran unless a deal can be reached to restrict Iran's nuclear program. But again, that's not even accurate. That's not even what it's about anymore. They're talking about ballistic missiles. Why would you why do they keep talking about the nuclear threat? Because that's the one that seems like it's worth going to war over. But that's not a threat anymore. That's not even really what's being talked about. It's their ballistic missile program is being talked about, which is not a threat to the American homeland. And then you have the real problem, which is that story right there. Missed funerals and blocked toilets. Iran deployment takes a toll on U.S. sailors. This is from the Wall Street Journal. One sailor missed the death of his great-grandfather. Another is thinking about leaving the Navy after almost a year away from her toddler daughter. Two more said the ship had sewage problems. President Trump's decision to extend for a second time the deployment of the aircraft carrier USS Gerald R. Ford is taking a toll on the ship's sailors and their families, leading some to consider leaving the Navy when they return to their home port, according to interviews with sailors on board the ship and their family members back home. And so basically, the USS Gerald Ford was only supposed to be out for, I believe, something like a six-month mission. And they've been there for over, they've been out at sail for nearly 300 days at this point, which is kind of a brutal thing to do to your sailors, to be honest with you. I mean, it's difficult and sort of traumatic enough, especially for somebody with young kids, to say goodbye to your child for months on end. Like, that is a massive sacrifice that you're asking people to make. Massive, like unimaginable. I wouldn't make it personally. I can't imagine not being there. Because, like, your kid, I mean, kids grow so fast. You don't see your kid for a week, and it's like, who is this kid? You know, they change completely. Imagine your kid not recognizing you when you get home. Imagine, you know, not being able to, like, actually hold your child for several months on end. It's already such a massive sacrifice for these sailors to make. And then it's like, oh, by the way, we're extending it. Oh, by the way, we're extending it again. So now it's been a year. So now you leave like heartbroken that you're going to have to spend 6 months away from your kid. And then they just extended, you know, twice as much. Why? Because, you know, Israel loves killing kids. And if we don't destroy Iran, then they're going to have to pay a price for that. Like, yeah, no wonder the sailors are clogging toilets. So apparently now the USS Gerald Ford is having these major sewage issues and they're like having to dock. It's like an emergency. They have to dock in Greece and aren't able to, you know, get to their station because they're being flooded with sewage water. And apparently that's on purpose, which is kind of like in the old days in wooden ships, there was a thing called like cannonball rolling. And basically like at night, there'd be this rumbling in the ship and it was the discontented sailors would just roll cannonballs down and it would like hit the feet of the officers. And it was just a little symbol. It's like, we're not happy right now. Cause forever and still to this day, mutiny is like an existential threat for the Navy. You get even just one sailor on board that starts like, you know, spreading discontent and dissension in the ranks. You can actually like lose a ship over that. They will literally commandeer it and take it to the enemy. Like that can happen. And it's a major concern. So, like, this is a big risk these people are taking. If people are actually flushing things down the toilet in order to clog it as a act of mutiny, like, they could risk, you know, court-martial and execution over that. Tells you how they feel about what they're being asked to do and how they're being treated. And it's sort of making me second-guess the Seditious Six. Where are the Seditious Six around now? I mean, they were all eager to tell soldiers not to follow orders when you know, they're bombing Cuban or Venezuelan fishing boats. Where are they now? Can these soldiers refuse their orders? Would that be patriotic?
Ladies and gentlemen, methylene blue is incredible. And we have the very best you're going to find anywhere at thealexshowstore.com. What it's done to my clarity, my mind, my focus has just been wild. My workouts have been so much better. We have the best, ultramethylene blue, at thealexshowstore.com. Here's what some of the guests on the show experienced when they took it, and Joe Rogan and others talking about my transformation that methylene blue has been a big part of.
How is Alex doing these?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend big. Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight.
Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Yeah, Alex looks good, man. He lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked, showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. I got so many videos to show you and stories still to tell, and I want to take your calls in the final hour. But let's continue with what's going on in Iran. Here, I think this was a very good explanation of what's going on with the USS Gerald Ford by somebody named Shanaka Adenslam Herrera on X. They say this: the USS Gerald R. Ford has been at sea for 241 days. Her deployment has been extended twice. She's now heading back towards the Middle East for a third time, and the Wall Street Journal just published what the Pentagon does not want you to hear. Sailors are missing families. Missing births, missing their children's first steps. The ship's sewage system is failing, requiring maintenance calls every single day, and acid flushes costing $400,000 each. Crew members are telling reporters that they want to quit the Navy. Morale is described in terms that defense journalists have not used since Vietnam-era reporting. This deployment is on track to reach 11 months. The post-Vietnam record is 294 days set by the USS Abraham Lincoln during COVID in 2020. The Ford will break it, and she's not coming home. Here's what the human toll can tell you about the strike calculus that no OSINT flight tracker can. The U.S. Navy operates 11 aircraft carriers. The Ford carries approximately 5,000 soldiers and over 75 aircraft, extending the deployment twice at enormous cost to crew retention, family stability, and mechanical readiness is not something the Navy does for leverage. The Navy fights extensions. Carrier groups, commanders fight extensions. The families lobby Congress to fight extensions. Extensions happen over institutional resistance when the mission authority, in this case, the commander-in-chief, has determined that the asset cannot leave the theater. The Ford cannot leave the theater because nothing has replaced her, and the mission she was sent to support has not been completed or canceled. Think about what extended twice means operationally. The first extension signals that the original timeline was optimistic. The second extension signals that the mission itself has probably changed. You do not burn through crew morale, defer scheduled maintenance, and risk retention crisis across your most advanced warship for a contingency. You do it for a commitment. Now connect the dots. The Ford crossed into the Mediterranean on February 20th, adding her air wing to the 500-plus aircraft already in the theater, nine C-17s carrying 700 tons of munition en route, hundreds of personnel evacuated from Al Udeid, a P-8A is mapping the Straits of Hormuz, the IRGC is massing at the Iraqi border, Khomeini has activated shadow government protocols, Lindsey Graham is lobbying for strikes, Trump's deadline expires in days, and Witkoff just told Fox that Iran is 1 week from making bomb-making material, which is, again, absurd. The Ford's sailors are paying the human price of a decision that's already been made in everything but name. You don't break post-Vietnam deployment records, destroy your crew's families, and risk the readiness of your most expensive warship to park it in the Mediterranean as a prop. The $13.3 billion ship is not a negotiation tactic. It's a weapons delivery system and has been held in place at extraordinary cost because somebody in the chain of command has determined she will be needed. Sailors do not miss their children's births for bluffs. The stage is being set. The stage was set weeks ago. What you're watching now is the cost of holding the curtain. And that in response to the Wall Street Journal article about the massive toll that this deployment is taking on the U.S. sailors. So, again, it's not just about recognizing the, you know, negative that this is inflicting on the Navy men that are being forced to deploy. It's about recognizing that that is being taken into account and that the cost is considered worth the expense, if you understand. The goal, I guess, is worth the risk that they're taking. It also concerns me because, as we know, the New World Order's absolutely favorite way of getting America into a war is by destroying a ship. USS Maine, the Lusitania, the Gulf of Tonkin. I mean, this is a tried and true practice, right? The only time it really failed was USS Liberty. And that was because they fought harder than the Israelis expected and refused orders to go down with their ship. But they're not, it's not unlikely that they try it again. And so I'm a little bit concerned that there's this ship, the USS Gerald Ford, that apparently is kind of a piece of junk, kind of has a lot of problems. Like, that's one of the things people are saying. Well, there's no evidence that the sewage crisis on board is deliberate, right? People are saying, well, their sailors are flushing their clothes down the toilet to deliberately clog the toilet to cause problems because they're not happy with their extended deployment. But other people are saying, well, no, it's just that the Gerald Ford has always had problems with this. They had to be repaired like 32 times in the last year. And it's like, huh, sounds like keeping this thing afloat is really expensive. Sounds like it might be a perfect target for an Iranian nuclear, you know, an Iranian ballistic missile to take out, to give us the casus belli to go in. I don't know if that's the case, but that's not, that is not without historical precedent. There was a move in the First World War. It was actually Winston Churchill designed this operation. I believe it was the Siege of Gallipoli, but it's the Strait of Istanbul. Right there. And basically, the plan was we can force our way through. The British Navy had this plan. I'm just blanking on the name, but I think it was Gallipoli. But basically, the plan was we have all these old ships that are kind of not fit for purpose anymore, so let's sacrifice the ships. I was like, well, we got all these ships. They don't really do much, but if we get enough of them and we just have them all attack the strait at once, some of them will get through. And it's fine if the rest don't because they're basically scrap anyway. And it didn't actually work because the captains of these ships were so – it was such an anathema to them to, like, sacrifice a ship. Like, their whole point is you don't let the ship go. Like, that's the whole point of them being captain. And, like, it was just so unnatural for them to, like, put their ships in harm's way that they didn't quite have the aggressiveness that they should have. And so the whole thing just turned into a giant debacle, and it forced Winston Churchill to retire. Like, it was a total shameful embarrassment for the British military, the British Navy. And Winston Churchill, like, went into his, you know, period in the wilderness where he was totally out of power, in part because of his plan that completely failed. But that plan was at least predicated in part on the idea that they had all these ships they didn't need anymore, and so they wanted to find a useful use for them. So, you know, I'm not saying that is necessarily why the USS Gerald Ford, in its dilapidated and dysfunctional state, is being placed within range of Iranian attack, but like I said, it wouldn't be without historical precedent, just so you know. All right, I think we can move on here. I think we've said enough about this before I just start to repeat myself. Except I'll just say, as a very final note, this is from Sprinter Press on X, and it's, I guess, a selection from the American magazine called "Iran's Military Power Could Accelerate the Decline of U.S. Global Hegemony." An American magazine wrote, "What has deterred Washington from a military attack on Iran is Iran's real and significant ability to drag the U.S. and the entire region into a difficult and prolonged, exhausting war, which could unimaginably accelerate the process of the decline of the U.S. global hegemony." And so when you read this, you have to understand, and if you've been watching my show, you already know what I'm going to say. That's the point. That's one of the reasons that they want to get America into war with Iran. The whole, like, we know their plan is to start World War III, to finish the job of collapsing Western nation states, destroying the populations of Europe and America, and in the ashes of what promises to be a scorched earth type of conflict, they'll build the one world government. And of course, Israel will be a hegemon, as Benjamin Netanyahu keeps talking about, saying, as soon as we spread peace to the whole area, by which he means takes out Iran, then we will be, you know, our own hegemony in the Middle East. Yeah. Iran's secret weapon is a plunger. So, you know, this is presented by Sprinter Press and others is like, what a, you know, this is a reason, you know, this is in the negative column. When you're weighing the pros and cons, this is firmly in that con section. It would really weaken America worldwide. And it's like, okay, but now think of the conflict through the eyes of the Jeffrey Epstein class, if you will, of the international masters of the world. They want America to go down. One of the main reasons they're getting us into war with Iran is because it's a very convenient way to massively weaken the American people and to cause just chaos and division here at home. I mean, they really would get absolutely everything they want if they could just get America to go to war with Iran. So we shouldn't do that. So I think we shouldn't do that is my take there. And actually, let's go to clip 29 here. This is Ted Cruz basically saying that it's been decided we are going to go to war with Iran. He, of course, is giddy at this, as we know what his priorities are. Let's watch.
We're at a moment, Joe, where in the next 6 months, we could realistically see the regimes in Iran, Venezuela, and Cuba all fall. And we could see them replaced with governments that want to be friends with America. Now, let me be clear. There are 1,000 ways that can go wrong, so I'm not being Pollyannish about that. But if that happened, that would be the biggest geopolitical shift since the fall of the Berlin Wall. And so tonight, I expect the president to talk about historic successes over this last year, because it really has been an extraordinary year, both in national security and foreign policy, but also in domestic policy.
How would you, if you were the president, how would you approach Iran? What is it, another limited strike to try to prevent nuclear enrichment and to say we're serious? Do you go beyond that? Do you hope that somehow organically it happens? Because when you break it, when you own it and you break it, we know what's happened in the past. It's
not. So I talked to the president last week about this, and what I urged the president, I said, listen, the regime has never been weaker. They are teetering. There are real-world consequences to losing a war. The Ayatollah lost to Israel in the 12-day war. They are weaker. The regime is weaker than it ever has been. And what I've urged the president, do not miss this opportunity. If the Ayatollah is removed from power, it will make America much safer. This is the leading state sponsor of terrorism in the world. The Iranian regime is responsible for murdering hundreds of American servicemen and women. They fund terrorists all over the world. And so what I've urged the president is, number one, support the protesters and arm the protesters. Let the people of Iran give them the ability to overthrow their government. And number two, I think there's a very real possibility we will see, potentially in a matter of days, limited strikes. What we're not going to see is boots on the ground. We're not going to see a ground presence of American troops there, but I think there's a real possibility of targeted strikes that are designed to support the Iranian people who are protesting, not designed to put America in the middle of it, but designed this regime, the Ayatollah, when he chants death to America, I believe him.
Okay, okay. So apparently within the next few days, we'll see limited strikes. But Iran has said that they're going to respond to any strikes with overwhelming force. They apparently are not playing this game anymore. So I don't understand how that would work exactly. I mean, you can support limited strikes, but what happens when an aircraft carrier goes down? Are we going to back off? It's just so retarded. And literally all the talk of nuclear enrichment, I mean, they don't even talk about that anymore. Now they're talking about ballistic missiles, which doesn't even make sense. You know, you got Witkoff being like, they are days away from being able to produce industrial missiles. And it's like, what does that even mean? They have thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of ballistic missiles. What are you talking about? What technology are they days away from achieving? Not nuclear technology. You're just buzzwords about ballistic industrial technology. Like, what are you talking about? They have literally nothing. Okay, so the whole nuclear thing, that's not really a good reason. The whole, oh, we're supporting the protesters, kind of falls flat when you also have your Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, bragging about creating the conditions that inspire the outrage. It's not exactly Iran is just, you know, the leadership is just naturally so hated. It's that the American government has deliberately waged economic war against Iran in order to infuriate the masses, which are, of course, being funded and empowered to a huge degree by Israel and America, as we send in the Starlink, things that get confiscated, or all the Mossad agents that are going in and arming the protesters. And again, it's so funny that, like, if you were to say these protests aren't legit, this is Mossad, you know, going in and trying to cause problems, because there's videos of, you know, the protesters with Israeli weapons firing at Iranian state security forces trying to get, you know, a massacre to break out, you'd be called a conspiracy theorist and how dare you, anti-Semite. And then it's like, well, just ask Ted Cruz. Ask Ted Cruz whether it's a crazy conspiracy theory to arm the Iranian protesters. He's advocating for it, and we're already doing it. So just stop. So again, it's like, who's the antagonist here? Who's the bad guy? I mean, Iran, again, doesn't have the ability to hurt us on the American homeland. They just don't. So all of this is all just in service of Israel, and not even Israel's existence, but their continuing destruction of their neighbors. Again, I just have to reemphasize that all of this is in service of Israel being able to carry out genocide unimpeded and unopposed. That's it. Not their existence, not their survival. Just their genocide. That's what all this is for. And it's just absolutely outrageous and ridiculous. And so despite the talk about nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles, in reality, those are not concerns of ours. No, it all goes down to they chant death to America. At the final hour, that's the excuse that they have to give us, is that people in Iran, who we have deliberately starved, who we bombed last year, who we have, you know, invoked and inspired riots that have left allegedly tens of thousands of people dead, and it's like they're supposed to love us? Yeah, I'd hate us too. What are you talking about? I don't know how to emphasize this enough, and I feel like I need to put it in some sort of new context or frame, because this is just what they're saying. This is what they're arguing. And I don't know why people treat it like it's reasonable. They're literally saying they're going to start World War III. They're going to go to war with a country significantly more powerful than a place like Iraq, which was a complete quagmire disaster for us. Because they chant words we don't like. Because their people oppose us and don't like us. Because we've been at war with them clandestinely for the last several decades. Like, this is unbelievably absurd. Unbelievably absurd. Like, insulting. And let's go to clip 49 here. Again, when it all comes down to it, this is the reason they want to send your sons and daughters to die, is because people in Iran, who we have antagonized relentlessly for decades on end, don't like us. Let's watch.
But what the United States is doing to ensure that not only America is the safest country in the world, but remains the strongest country in the world.
Do you consider Iran a threat that remains abroad?
Well, look, Iran chants death to America. So you tell me if that's a threat. Elena.
You tell me if that's a threat. I mean, they chanted death to America. Okay, well, so do half of the liberals at protests here in America. Can we kill them? I want you to kill them first. Then we can get to the people who don't have the ability to kill us, but generally want to. We go to war with people here. I mean, if that's what it takes, you know, apparently a population of people just chanting death to America. I mean, I've heard that from people here in America. Let's go to war with them. We bomb them? Can we drone strike them from the stratosphere? It's just the most absurd thing you could possibly imagine. They chant death to America, therefore we need to go to war with them? That's retarded. It's very retarded. It's very sad. It's very sad that they're probably going to get their way, because it apparently does not matter what the American people want or whether it's conducive to the continuing existence of our nation. They're just going to do it. It honestly sucks. But we'll move on. Some very weird goings on here. Let's talk about Mexico. Let's talk a little bit about Mexico, shall we? Because there's a couple interesting things happening. Let's go to clip 21st. This is Mexico's defense secretary talking about where the weapons that the cartels are using come from. He's a little misleading. I'll clarify here in just a second. But obviously continues to be this insurrection by the cartel in Puerto Vallarta. Let's go to clip 20. This is the Mexican defense secretary explaining where weapons are coming from. He says it's already been mentioned here. Speaking of the strategy in general, since the beginning of this administration, 23,000 weapons have been seized. Of those 23,000 weapons, 80% are of U.S. origin. So in this case, the proportion is roughly the same. Okay, so 80% of the weapons seized from the cartel waging war against their own government, 80% of those weapons are American in origin. Just a couple possibilities here. And probably all of these are true. One is that programs like Fast and Furious literally just directly shipped guns to the cartels. That definitely happened. That's proven and incontrovertible. Then there's the claims that we've heard a lot of, that the U.S. military, just like base commanders, will be in league with the Mexican cartels and will simply be selling their surplus weaponry for personal benefit. That's also happening, I'm sure, to a great degree. But then there's where the vast majority of these weapons come from, and that is that the American government sells them to the Mexican government, and the Mexican government sells them to the cartels, or the American government gives them to Ukraine and the Ukrainian government sells them to the Mexican cartels. I know this because there's video of it. Let's go to clip 19 here. This is Mexican drug cartel gangsters fighting the Mexican government. These are the trucks that they're driving around, and they've got Ukraine flags on the side. Let's watch. So there you see the armored vehicles the Mexican cartels are using to wage war against their own government. And on the side, and you saw it in the first little frame there, is the Ukrainian flag. So this is an American military, you know, a piece of American military equipment that was given or sold to Ukraine that somehow made its way back to Mexico and is being used by Mexican cartels. So play that video again and just pause it in the first frame, and so just so people can see in case they missed it the first time. Right there. See the Ukraine flags right there on the side? The decals right there on the side? That's where it came from. Then you've got the Mexican government going, these are American resources that the cartels are using. Well, yeah, but they've been shipped to Ukraine first and then sold by Ukraine, or they've been shipped to Mexico and sold by the Mexican government, or by rogue base commanders here in America, or by deliberate programs like Fast and Furious, which supposedly was going to track weapons through the cartel networks, but didn't actually have a method to track them and didn't actually record their serial numbers. So in effect, they just gave a bunch of weapons. You know, it's like the scene from Monty Python and the Holy Grail when they build the wooden rabbit, and the guys in the castle bring the rabbit inside, and then they're outside the castle and they're like, okay, so now at night when they all fall asleep, we jump out of the rabbit. And they all look around. They're like, wait, we're not inside there. Wait. We've missed a major point of what we're supposed to be doing here. That's what Fast and the Furious was. Well, we send them all the guns, and now all we have to do is track the guns. And they're like, wait, but we just sent the guns, and we have no way to track them. Crap. So again, was that an accident? Was that incompetence? Or was that America causing chaos in Mexico by funding them? Oh, yeah, they also trained in Ukraine, how Mexican cartels became militarized killing machines. Weapons from U.S., training in Ukraine. No evidence Ukraine sold U.S. weapons to Mexican cartels. No, it's just a Ukraine flag on the side of the car. I'm sure Mexico is, they're just liberals. It's just, they're just good liberals, and they're showing their allegiance by, you know, their support of Ukraine by displaying the flag, I'm sure. Yeah, this was Fast and the Furious. This was it. You send the weapons into Mexico with no way of tracking them, and only once the weapons have been dispersed do you look around at each other and say, Well, wait a second. We're supposed to be tracking these things that we just sent in. Whoopsie daisy. That's it. That's how it goes. All right. We're going to open up the phone lines for your calls in the next hour. I also want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, you're getting 25% off our methylene blue bombshell product, game changer for everybody that tries it. And then methylene red pairs with methylene blue to maximize its power, with a ton of great B vitamins and just other vitamins and minerals that you're not getting on a daily basis because our food has been completely denuded of nutrients, and you have to be supplementing no matter how healthily you eat. Do it at thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you, and we'll be right back.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things, and their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans, and we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP. And it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule. It should have two hydrogens on it. And like, your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1. It's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is
a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on, right there, baby.
In the southern part of Texas.
Good morning. Doc Pete Chambers here. I'm on the road. We are in Dallas-Fort Worth. Today is the 24th of February in the year of our Lord, 2026. 1836, William Barrett Travis wrote a letter from inside the Alamo. Fellow citizens and compatriots were besieged on all sides by enemies. At that time, under Santa Anna. Right now, the enemies are different sort. World economic types. Globalist types. You name it, you put it in there, in the dotted line there, what it is. And understand, Texas, our culture, our way of life is under attack. America, our culture, our way of life is under attack. From those that wish to turn Texas into an investment tool, for those that wish to take away sovereignty and supplant it with other things, that's why we're in this fight. So I'm asking you, as I went down early to vote, we recommended to our folks to vote on the 3rd, on Election Day, because you might as well get used to it. When I get in office, we will fire the Secretary of State. We will make that an elected position so that people understand that voting is the primary tool with which we have a voice. Sorry about the noise. William Barrett Travis went on to say, I'm calling on everything dear to the American character to come to our aid with all dispatch. With all dispatch. Nearly 200 defenders of the Alamo died when they decided not to cross the line, giving them the out from defending the Alamo. And as William Barrett Travis signed off and said, victory or death, they accepted death. Because they understood that they were in a fight for their life. For the life of Texas, the Republic of Texas. I'm asking you to vote. Republicans, get out and vote. Like me, when I was on the road, I had to vote in my hometown. And right now, I'm needing you to do the same. You make it too big to lose, too big to steal on the 3rd of March. If you can't do it on that day, get out there right now. Start thinking ahead. This is a call to aid with all dispatch. Doc Chambers out.
That's Doc Chambers, who is running for governor of Texas. Vote for him if you can, if you're in Texas. And that it really goes to the heart of what we need politicians to understand. Like, you need them in the Alamo mindset. You need them in the victory or death mindset and in the, you know, wartime warframe mindset. Because right now, they're in this fantasy world where we've got all the time in the world and we're doing things the proper way. And that's just not the way things work anymore. I mean, the successes specifically that Trump has had, his biggest successes have been unilateral movements that require no participation or input from anybody else. When he wants to shut the border gets shut. If he wants to pardon the January Sixers, the January Sixers are pardoned. It's as soon as you start trying to play the game of bureaucracy and the game of politics that you lose before you even start playing. That's why I disagree with people like this, chief engineer, CE on X. Just take a breath. Donald Trump governs in two tracks, public messaging and an operational machinery. Those are not the same thing. He has mastered the art of look at this hand while the other hand is doing the work. You're watching public rhetoric. What matters is administrative throughput. Some concessions will be made. That's normal. Trade agreements, visa reciprocity, corporate pressure, market stabilization. No president governs without negotiation. Yes, part of that negotiation involves sacrificing some of our interests. Putting Americans first has never meant zero compromise. It means direction of travel. Now step back and take a look at labor protections historically, and talking about H-1B visas and saying, look, you know, these corporations require this and you've got to, balance the act. And it's just like, no. No, you need to immediately and brutally cut off all forms of support for all illegal immigrants and crush any corporation that defies you.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. The War Room with Harrison Smith is live right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We are going to take your calls this hour. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. We are live on this Tuesday evening. It's 5.06 p.m. Central Time. And give us a call. And we take calls about anything and everything. I haven't taken calls in a while, so whatever you want to sound off about, and we'll try to get to as many as possible. So I'll try to keep my comments to a minimum. But give us a call, 1-877-789-2539. I still have a couple things to cover while those phone calls come rolling in. Let's go to clip 12 here, because this is the end goal. This is what it's all about. This is what billionaires talk about when they're alone. Reversing aging and living forever. And I hope I don't have to explain once again how this is obviously the ultimate goal of everybody in power right now. That they truly believe, and have good reason perhaps to believe, that they are on the verge of defeating natural death, of reversing aging and using other biological hacks to basically stretch the human life into infinity, so long as they're not, you know, killed by an outside force. Now, you can't have that exist in the world today. You can't have everybody have that technology. Only a few number of people can have that technology. And you can't have a few people living forever and nobody else living forever. Like, we wouldn't stand for that. As the way the world is composed now, that just wouldn't work. It wouldn't happen. So they're trying to reorganize the whole world to get us used to this idea, to get us inured and like a frog boiling in water, just like slowly but surely, incrementally accepting that, okay, the elite can do things we can't do. They get away with things we can't get away with. They don't have to abide by the laws that we have to abide by. And like slowly but surely, what you're doing is planting the seed of the elite are different and better than us in ways that are make them godlike. They're practically gods. I mean, when you live forever, and if you then have the ability to dole out infinite life to people who serve you, you are basically God. So you are fulfilling the promise of the snake in the Garden of Eden, and doing so through the beast system. Book of Revelations truly is, it's the Alpha and the Omega. It's the beginning of the end of this global conspiracy. Started in the Garden of Eden, is ending with hell on earth, and they're pushing towards it with everything they've got. Here's a public announcement about how they have achieved this and are already running clinical trials. Let's watch.
Aging doesn't have to be acceptable. In my world, aging is a medical condition that's very common, and it's increasingly treatable. Even if we cured all cancer today, we would only live an average of an extra 2.5 years. Let that sink in. All cancer's gone today. We only live on average another 2.5 years. Why? Because all of the diseases are going up at the same time. So we need to tackle all of the diseases at once, and that's aging. Aging is the cause of these diseases. And what I'm going to tell you today is that next month we're going into human clinical trials to test for the first time in history whether we can reverse the aging process and cure diseases. We can tackle aging because we now believe we understand why we age. And it's not wear and tear. It's not that we just wear out like a car. Our bodies are not like cars. Our bodies are more like computers that can be programmed and reprogrammed and rebooted to be young again. We are like computers, not machines. One analogy, and hopefully you all remember what a compact disc is. We think aging is like scratches on a CD. The DNA is the music, so we get beautiful music when we're young, but when we get old, we cannot read the beautiful music. Our cells do not read the DNA correctly, so the cells, they become lost, they become confused, and our old cells do not make the right proteins, and they get diseases. This, we believe, is aging. But what's amazing is we found that you can polish the CD, you can get rid of the scratches and rejuvenate cells so they're young again. And to put it another way, you can reinstall the software of the body so that it's young again. We can quite literally, in my lab, reverse the age of cells and of very complex organs and tissues, including the eye, the most complex, and the brain. We can reverse aging by 75% in 6 weeks. We actually were able to show that using this method, we could cure blindness in animals for the first time. We could cure blindness. And the world reported just last week that the US FDA regulatory body cleared the way for the first age reversal human trial. It's a big deal. The FDA is very supportive. And we will know this year, maybe in the next few months, if age reversal works.
So there you go. They say they are basically that was at the World Government Summit 2026, which took place in January. You said next month. So as we speak, there are human trials going on for age reversal technology. And I think Sun Optimus on X puts it perfectly. Reversing aging would be a real end of time scenario when you consider how the curse of death is actually a grace that prevents the perpetuity of evil men. Reversing aging would be a real end of time scenario when you consider how the curse of death is actually a grace that prevents the perpetuity of evil men. And who do you think would be first in line for the infinite life technology if it were to come about in the next few months? It would be the most evil people in the entire world. It would be the Jeffrey Epsteins of the world. They would be first in line for the aging technology. They'd be the only ones receiving it, in fact. And I can tell you right now, I know from people who know the guy that there already is reverse aging technology. There already are people alive today who believe that they will live forever because they are already engaged in age reversal therapy that apparently succeeds. So like it's already happening. Now there's an FDA approved trial of it, but you don't actually require an FDA approval if you're just going to experiment on yourself. And that's what a lot of these people are doing. Big tech billionaires in Silicon Valley and elsewhere. So that's the ultimate goal. It is wicked beyond description, and again, just metaphorical in its presence in the human mind, that this is sort of the source of all evil. And I should just play the video, but I've talked about this a lot. I had a video about this, went semi-viral, because you have things like every major, like, transcendental or transcendent piece of popular media, from Harry Potter to Lord of the Rings to, like, anyone you care to mention, they almost all share the same characteristic, which is that the bad guys want to live forever. And that's their ultimate goal. In Star Wars, Darth Vader is seduced to the dark side with the promise of infinite life, right? It's the tale of Darth Sidious. They wouldn't have told you that, right? He found a way to defeat death, to live forever, and just follow me. I'm sorry, Plagueis the Wise, I'm being told. Sorry, it's Darth Plagueis the Wise, I hear. But right, it's a false promise, but, you know, if you believe it and you go along with the evil people, you end up half a robot and total slave and dying anyway. Voldemort means flee from death. It is literally French for to flee from death, Voldemort. His whole point is making Horcruxes so he can live forever, right? There's something about this that connects with something inside humans that's like transcendent, that's metaphysical, that's, you know, divine. That there's a reason that these happen to be the very properties that become, you know, cultural movements. It's because we recognize something in the truth of the evil that it portrays. This is, oh my God, it's working. Oh my gosh, the age reversal trial succeeded. Look at that. He's such a young man now. Isn't that amazing? So let's go to your calls now. We've got Chuck from Illinois got in first on line two. Go ahead, Chuck. You are soon to be on the air. Just as soon as... Okay, Chuck, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. How you doing today, Harris?
Doing good. Thanks.
All right. Well, anyways, I want to talk about how, you know, it's just kind of funny how all this is playing out. They're stretching us thin over there in Iran, and then they got the Mexican thing kicking off, you know. So it just seems like you keep saying, you know, the demise of America. But the next thing I want to speak about, you know, this Rothschild thing. We've known this for, what, centuries going on now, you know, at least a century, that these people have controlled governments over and over. I mean, why aren't they being decapitated? That's really all I can say. I mean, we know the enemy.
Yeah, well, because they've done a great job of segregating themselves away from us. But yeah, no, it's a great question there, Chuck. I don't know why they haven't been decapitated yet. Anything else?
That's about it, man. You have a good one.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you for calling in. Let's go to Godzilla in Wisconsin, one of our regular callers. Go ahead, Godzilla. What's your prediction for the State of the Union today?
Hey, yeah, I think Trump's been doing a great job. We've come so far. We have the alien stuff, chemtrails, all this stuff with Epstein. And, you know, he's delivering in a lot of his promises. Obviously, I'm kind of touchy on Iran. You know, because on one sense, it's like, you know, the Persian Empire is like hundreds of thousands of Epsteins. You know, they've been horrible to Christianity and Europe for a long time. So I don't know if it would be sweat off my back if they got glass. But the problem is that there's so many innocent people, you know, the sins of the father argument. And it's like, I would like to see house cleaning here first, because the screams of the children that are being eaten and violated go on nonstop, and I want to see these people brought up and these monsters removed from society. There's a possibility, I think, that there is a war between secret societies because of COVID. Certain groups suggesting the vaccine to other groups, and backstabbing or too much control in certain groups and other groups wanting more control. Whether or not Trump's alone, lone wolf, or in some group, that's yet to be seen. You know, he hasn't declared that, you know, but what's going on so far, I think, is great. And it's really up to the fact that America itself is on trial from Trump's point of view, that if America has provided Trump, this one person, President Trump, this glorious life, this golden life, you know, and how much he's willing to fight. He's all about fight, fight, fight. Let's see how much he's going to fight for America and how hard he's going to fight. And I want to see if this is going to be another canned speech with just the same old rigmarole nonstop, or if it's going to be something different. That's going to be a signifier if we're going to go to Iran, and it's going to be another military industrial complex cluster mess, and or if we're going to go into, you know, instead of a great reset, a good reset, you know, clean food, clean water, all these things that we found out, a clean banking system, clean government, you know, fix up everything, some prosperity, a good reset, a golden reset. Or I think, you know, Putin and Trump should just launch the nukes. And we just hard reset this, you know, because we can't go around with people literally getting eaten. You know, like, I don't expect Alex Jones to suit up like Van Helsing and go literally hunting these vampires. But, like, you know, there's literal vampires drinking people's blood, trying to live forever and eating people. And it seems that unless the media tells people to actually care, the screams of these children that are being violated and eaten and destroyed are just echoing in the wilderness, and nothing's happening, you know, and it's just going to continue that way. And then at that point, it's like, well, what kind of world are we really living in? You know, it's like irradiated by evil, that it's like, what are we supposed to keep paying taxes? What's the point? You know, and obviously there's the whole Israel situation, where Israel's thrown in the mix for the first time in a long time, you know, and he can take care of that too. You know, he's in a power position right now, and it's really, he's in the commander's seat, and it's his choices that are really going to shape the future and how much we're going to push him to stay on the party line that we brought. He's riding in on the wave we brought him in, you know.
Yeah.
And we need to, if he can't do it, we got to find somebody else that can, because all our suspicions, plus much more, have been confirmed in spades, and we have the receipt. Far as the State of the Union tonight, I don't know. It's up in the air. You know, it's more like a you'll see, and it's up to him. So what do you think? Kind of like a bunch of cornucopia of things I kind of threw at you there. But
I think you know, he's usually pretty good at giving States of the Union. He's, you know, He'll probably be sort of typical. We'll hear him talk about his success of Venezuela. We'll hear him. I mean, you know, you can kind of predict what it's going to be. I don't know. I'm not expecting him to do a big barn burner type thing. I just don't think that's going to happen. This is cool. I don't know what this is, but I like it. Where's this from, guys? Who made this? It's Alex Jones. For our radio listeners, it's Alex Jones with a flamethrower walking through the Eyes Wide Shut party. It's awesome. That's cool. I like this. I like what's happening here. I want to see a whole movie like this. Guys, who made this? I want to give credit to whoever. This is Maverick Darby? That's awesome. Yeah, we'd love to see this. We need this, you know, peacefully, politically, metaphorically, but actually just like this. Yeah, that's cool. I like that. Yeah, I don't know. We can't let these people get away with it. We really can't. And we should pray that Trump is aware enough of what's going on that he's not, I mean, is he really that confused by why he's not doing well? I mean, everybody saw the video from a few days ago. He seemed like kind of melancholy, and he's like, I don't know why we don't have more support. And it's like, because you keep betraying your promises. What are you talking about? So, but he's still like got a communication channel open with Tucker Carlson, who seems pretty aware of what's going on. So, you know, hopefully he's listening to some of those people and just dealing with the unimaginable pressures of being United States president. I mean, I feel for him, and I still am not convinced that he's like fully on their side by any means. If that was the case, things would have gone a lot differently, but it's just whether or not he can truly resist the pressure from the people around him. And, so far it hasn't been a good year for that. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Sean in California now. Let's talk about USS Ford and the opportunity to false flag it. Go ahead, Sean, you're on the air.
Hey, Harrison, I think your thoughts about the USS Ford are kind of on point, whether it's false flag or mutiny. Remember, the name of Gerald Ford has infamy because of the ties to JFK, replacing Nixon, and just being an utter tool. So what better way symbolically than, this stuff happens, but, you know, it disgraces the name of Ford in a way. Mm. And then the flip side of that, like you said, it gets us involved with her. I was even thinking in my head, what if there was a quick reversal and we just we take out all of the Epstein network in Israel? Whoops, you know, because that'd be a nice reversal, but that's hopium speaking. I wanted to tie that also into you went on the tear for a second there about the life extension technology. And it came to my mind that maybe this Epstein file stuff, Harrison, is being done to placate people about the biomedical research to get people used to it. Like when stem cells were the hot topic of the day, everybody, there's a lot of people who go to Mexico to get stem cell treatment. That's a polite way to put it. So I'm wondering if maybe that's going to be the new economy, is all that research that Epstein had that we're seeing in the files. Not only would that be morbid and gross, but like you said, it would allow the villainous to outlive the righteous, you know?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on these issues, man?
No, I think you're exactly right. And I think, I don't know. I don't know if the Epstein release, like, corresponds to that. But it gives you an idea of, like, who these people are and what they value. And, like, the idea that they are drinking blood in order to live longer is, like, not even, you know, absurd at all. It's, like, very much in the wheelhouse of what they do. And you can see, like, these people genuinely do think of themselves as above and set apart from humanity. And so getting life extension technology would just be sort of fulfillment of what they see as their due for existing, as their reward for, you know, being alive, is that they should be able to live forever and everybody else should die because they're worthless. I mean, that is the mindset that comes across very clearly. And the manipulation of DNA and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it all folds in together. So no, I think you're exactly right. We have time for one more call this segment. We'll continue with calls in the next segment. Let's go to Nathaniel now in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Nathaniel. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Harry, son. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Yeah, it's been a while. I talked to you the last time was probably 2023 or something like that, maybe 2022. I'm calling because right now I'm living in obscurity, basically, here in the Democrat-majority state of Rhode Island, and I'm really tired of it. If this was a different time period, for example, my grandpa volunteered to fight Nazis during World War II, but obviously this is a different time that we are living in. But I'm calling to see if maybe, just maybe, InfoWars and I can establish a better relationship, because I need a job, man. I really need a job. And, like, I have a YouTube channel, and I posted about Tommy Robinson because he's in America. And so my YouTube channel, Nathaniel Dempsey, Dempsey at Nathaniel_Dempsey. That's my YouTube channel. I posted about Tommy Robinson. He's in America. I would love to shake his hand, and I would love to work with you guys. Now, I just want to say real quick, though, the whole thing with Owen Schroyer, I don't know all the details, but I see it as a negative just in general. And then I heard Gerald Celente recently say that Alex is a sellout. He said that on a David Knight show. And it's just in general, I want to say all this division, it doesn't make me feel good. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make me feel good that, like, even Savannah Hernandez, I tried to be her friend and she doesn't want to talk to me. And it's really a shame, man, because if we could unify, we would be stronger. But, like, if Savannah Hernandez doesn't want to talk to me, and I have no idea why Owen Schroyer left, and, you know, Gerald Celente said Alex Jones is a sellout, it's a giant mess, man. But, like, I want to join a team. I want to be part of a team. You know what I mean? So,
well, look, I mean, I don't know about getting a job. We are about to go through some pretty major changes here at InfoWars. So, you know, stay tuned for that. And I'll check out your YouTube channel at Nathaniel_Dempsey. But look, Owen quit because his ambitions compelled him to quit, okay? He wasn't fired for anything. David Knight was fired, but not because of what he said or the coverage that he maintained, but because of his attitude behind the scenes. So, you know, you got a lot of people that have personal beefs with Alex, and they want to act like it's on principle. It's not, though.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should add.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant.
Absolutely.
To everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain. And the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals. Things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum. All these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works. It does. It counters that.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feeling, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest, though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
This is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's...
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your butt. It's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now. Day off from the campaign trail doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones' methylene blue. It's pretty good. I got to say, I've been using it on the road since we left the studios. And I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 2004. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, it's been used for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on.
This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I got to tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Back, folks. Just breaking from Colonel Douglas McGregor. He says, a decision has been made. The president, the secretary of war, and their senior military advisors become convinced that the air and missile campaign will compel the opponent to submit to Washington's demands. Get ready. According to Douglas McGregor, we're going to launch an attack against Iran soon. So that's in line with everything else we've been seeing. It's just out of whack with, a desire to continue to exist as an American state that is worth defending. I want to go to one more video before we go to your calls again. And this one, it's a little weird, okay? It's a little odd, and this might seem kind of off the rails here. But guys, I'm trying to find the video of the Japanese. So 42 here, okay? Clip 42. This is a live streamer who's in Japan. She sits down, and another woman sits on a park bench behind her. And then the woman looks over, and the woman behind her has a fake face. And, you know, if you're watching this episode on a replay later at night, that's the best way to watch. Because you're about to see a horror movie. You're about to see something that when I first saw it sent shivers down my spine. But I'll explain it in just a second. But this is an incredibly creepy, like, urban legend level, caught on tape. It's just, I don't even know how to intro this. It's just freaky beyond belief. Let's go to clip 42 here. So there's the woman. She sits down, looks over, and the girl got a look at that. What is that? What is going on? Why is there a mannequin woman? Why is there a mannequin woman at the park? Can the crew pause it on her face and maybe zoom in on it? It is so disturbing. Look at that. So what is it? So the girl just immediately gets up and runs away. Because I would too. Yeah. What the hell? You got fake people walking around? So this got posted and people were just like, what is going on? What is that thing? So it turns out this is a phenomenon in Japan. And I have to say, as soon as I learned about this, I learned to love it. I learned to love this freaky little thing because I feel like it gives the correct impression. So what this is men in Japan, supposedly, is a new phenomenon in Japan where men wear silicone bodysuits and lifelike female masks known as, quote, tight men for their tight-fitting bodysuits. These individuals have been accused of engaging in inappropriate behavior in public places. So here's one of them. So you got these, like, creepy mannequin men walking around with these, like, doll faces on and sitting around, and they look totally fake. So the reason I love this is because I feel like for once, people can see this and understand how I feel and how we feel about transgenderism. This is transgender. This is just as freaky and weird and creepy as a man dressed up as a woman. That's all this is. It's a man dressed up as a woman. But it's like, thank you to Japan for giving a visual that represents the horror underneath. Because when anybody sees this freaky mannequin woman walking around with her fake face, you get a chill. You get something going up your spine. You get a instinctual reaction to run away or kill it, right? Yeah, maybe they're just trying to avoid the social credit system. Maybe this is an anti-facial recognition thing. But it's so creepy and weird, and yet it's really not any creepy or weirder than a man wearing a dress walking around pretending that he's a woman. I mean, that's what this person's doing. You know, what's so freaky about that? Why don't you accept? What, you don't want this person changing next to you in the locker room? What's wrong with you? Why don't you go embrace the mannequin man? She's a beautiful woman just like you. No difference. Bizarre beyond belief. Here, come to this. Come to the doc picture. Again, it's just like there's something evolutionary that goes off when you see this. The doll face on the living being. Beyond creepy. But, you know, if you got a problem with this, then you must be transphobic. You must be transphobic, and we can't have that here. We can't allow that here. You have to embrace the doll-faced men pretending to be women so they can get close to other women. And if you get scared by them, it's because you hate. You're a hateful person. and you'll go to jail. We have to send you to jail for your hate speech, for not embracing and loving these freaky perverts dressed up like women. And you have people being like, actually, this is different. These people are doing it for sexual gratification. Transgender people believe that they're in the wrong body. And it's like, no. No, actually, it's exactly the same. It's actually 100% exactly the same motivation as the silicone men in Japan and the men wearing dresses in America. It is the same, actually. It's one and the same. So finally, we have a visual to represent how everybody should feel about transgenderism. It's just we've been, you know, like frogs boiling in a pot of water. We're like used to it for some reason. But if you were to bring anybody back from the, you know, find somebody cryogenically frozen from the 50s and show them literally any transgender person in the modern day, and they would have the same reaction that you have when seeing the mannequin-faced doll silicone person from Japan. Okay. And on that, you know, we'll go out to calls. Well, let's just go to clip 22 here just because I think we should do something about this. I think the government actually has a responsibility to do something about transgenderism. The fact that we can't go a week without a transgender person committing a mass murder. We've had two this year. We're not even in the second month. We're not even done with the second month, rather. So this is an actual national security threat, and I think we need to do something about these people. Okay, let's go to clip 22 here.
I think we should start killing kids until they let us use whatever bathroom they want.
So I was a man in a dress on stage saying, I think we should kill kids so we get to use whatever bathroom we want. Which would be funny if transgender people didn't have a record of killing children at a massive rate, like significantly higher than any other group of people ever. So, not actually that funny. Actually, kind of a real threat from a dangerous group of people. With that, we got to your phone calls. Let's go to Cheeky in Washington State on line 9, discussing the mutiny on the Ford. Go ahead, Cheeky. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Harris.
Hello. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Harrison. All right, first and foremost, I'm against striking Iran or any of that. I just want to preface everything I had to say after with that. I'm against it.
Sure.
I am absolutely appalled. As a veteran, I'm absolutely appalled to see the complete breakdown in discipline on the Gerald Ford. I want to remind everybody that the Navy is the most important of the services. I'm a Marine, by the way, and I say that because they're the ones who project our power throughout the world.
Right.
And I'm looking at X, and I'm seeing pretty much every foreign adversary using this incident on the Ford as an opportunity to subvert our military. You know, saying, hey, you know, we salute you guys doing that. You know, and it's. If you're in the military, you don't have a freaking political opinion. That's part of the sacrifice you make when you sign that dotted line. Like, that's you don't get to do that kind of shit. But pardon my language, but you just don't. It's subversive, and it's dangerous. And as an American citizen, I look at that, and I'm terrified because we're dependent on these people to defend us.
Yeah.
Like, this is the greatest. I can't think of a better excuse to go buy a gun than looking at this. Our military is absolutely riddled, especially the Navy. It's riddled with CCP activists and CCP spies. Like, it's a known thing.
Right.
And it's, you know what? It's been a long time since the Navy or the Marine Corps or the Air Force or anybody, the Army, has hazed anybody, and it shows. And quite frankly, it's embarrassing, and it's appalling. You know, I don't agree with striking Iran, but I'm more appalled by the fact that our military, that we've got non-rates, we've got people that aren't even petty officers who are doing this kind of stuff. And you know what? When I was in, I couldn't fathom doing some kind of crap like this.
Right.
It's unbelievable. And shame on the U.S. Navy for allowing this. This is a complete breakdown in discipline, and you're embarrassing the hell out of us. And you know what? As far as the State of the Union goes and all that, they're eating children, man. And, you know, I'll go ahead and finish up with this. If you file taxes, you condone what they're doing. Like, it's really that simple. It's an unethical to file taxes at this point. Like, it is the last nonviolent thing that we can do to protest this. They don't listen to our votes. We haven't secured our elections. And quite frankly, the last final thing that we can do before violence is the only option left is to not file taxes this year.
Right.
You know, and I wish that wasn't the case, you know, but quite frankly, what are our taxes doing? The entire purpose of it is to keep us impoverished. They don't even use it to fund anything because they just print whatever.
Yeah.
So if you're submitting to that, if you file your taxes, shame on you.
Well, I got to agree with you. I want to talk a little bit more about the potential mutiny on the USS Gerald Ford. I'm right there with you. And again, this is why I thought it was so important last year when the Seditious Six came out saying, you know, you're supposed to question your orders. I was appalled by that, thought that was awful. And yet it was sort of treated like, well, you know, you are supposed to, you know, disobey orders. But like clearly it's seeding this discontent, this dissension in the ranks that we're seeing potentially manifest now. And there's contradictory reports, you know, maybe it's not deliberate, you know, messing things up. But clearly the sailors are talking to reporters and saying they want to quit the Navy, and that alone is sort of beyond the pale when it comes to military discipline. So like, how do you think it got this bad, and what do you think the steps are to get us back? And I guess what responsibility does the administration have in, you know, maintaining morale and, you know, sort of pushing the sailors to the point where they feel the need to mutiny? I mean, what responsibility does the administration have versus the sailors?
You want to fix this? I know how to fix it in two easy steps. Arrest Bill Gates and publicly execute that son of a... And then find whoever clogged up the toilets on the USS Ford and then publicly execute them. That'll solve all of the morale issues, and it will clarify the reality of the situation. Because the fact of the matter is, they are the leading edge. They are the sword that's supposed to defend us. And if that sword is crumbling, then we've got a serious issue here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, maybe that's a little radical or whatever, but at the end of the day, they're eating children. And how can you have a military that has the social media and everything else that knows everything that we know? And yeah, if I was serving right now, I would seriously be questioning it too. Like, what am I doing here? But by the same token, you made an oath. You raised your hand up and you said, hey, I swear to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And ultimately, while you're serving, you don't get to have a political opinion.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
I agree.
I didn't get to have one. And up until, like, I guess it was right around 1900, you couldn't even vote when you were in the military. You know, and I think that's something that maybe we should revisit, because the military has gotten way too politicized.
That's absolutely true.
It's also, you know, it's part of the sacrifice that you make. It's part of the reason that you get those benefits when you get out. That's the deal. You give up all of your rights while you serve so that you can go ahead and preserve it for the rest of us. You do your time, you get out, and you enjoy the rights and you enjoy the benefits of having said, yeah, I'm willing to give my life and bleed for this country. But this mutiny, this is absolute no. As an American citizen, it is absolutely unsat.
Yep. Well, I appreciate it, and I think you are exactly right about, you know, how angry you are at this. You know, it's just another aspect of like the collapsing social contract, where, you know, we're expected to uphold our end of the bargain, but we get nothing in return. And we feel that way with taxes, right? We pay taxes. What do we get for it? Replaced, degraded, everything that we love destroyed. These people sign up to give their lives. What do they get in return? Treated like pieces of, you know, meat on a chessboard that are there just to die for the whims of whoever. I mean, it's a betrayal on both sides, and it just represents a total collapse of our system, how it is meant to function. And it's a lack of trust on both sides. It's not a good signal for the future. Thank you for the call, Cheeky. And yeah, I completely agree with you, and I feel your passion for it. It really is disturbing. And again, just from what I know from the Navy, from, you know, we're reading a lot of books about it, it's like, I still understand like the threat of mutiny and how it's like not, you know, it's like, you know, back in the old days when you're on a wooden ship, it'd be like having an open flame, right? It's like there's a horror to it where it's like, no, you don't even risk it. You don't even talk about it. Like, it's that bad because, yeah, when things start going bad on a ship, it's not easy to turn it around. Crazy stuff. Thanks for the call, Cheeky. Let's go to Angelina in Texas on line 11. Go ahead, Angelina. You're on the air.
Hello, Harrison. It's good to talk with you again. I posted on your X account excerpts of The Making of the American Civilization. I swear, this is the textbook for 1776, the entire concept. I really feel like I need to get this textbook over. But anyway, I do want to say something in regards to what's been happening. And this is under the Colonies Grow. This is chapter 2. So I'm going to do a quote from this textbook, this high school textbook. And it's going to go with public affairs discussed in print. It is an invention of Americanism in the United States that we have a free press and we have a free speech and where people of all religions and creeds can stand up and question your government or state of public affairs. This was truly an American and uniquely an American invention. Yeah. But I am going to make a quote here. Especially with all the difficulties that we're having with the latest news. So I'm just going to read it out. Okay. The question was asked, what kind of government is really best? In 1717, John Wise, a preacher of Ipswich, Massachusetts, answered that nature had, quote, set all men upon a level and made them equals, and that a democracy in church and state is a very honorable and regular government according to the dictates of right reason. Then he added, this is the important part, the end of all good government is to cultivate humanity and to promote the happiness of all. Okay? Yeah. This was very different from the inherited European idea that the end of government is to promote the happiness of a small class of rich people.
Right.
That's it. So, yeah. I'm going to have to get this out. It has 1,000 pages of it, but every page is, this is the textbook of 1776. This is the textbook of how everybody identified and embodied of what was being with the American, being an American, not a white, not a black, not a Mexican, not a whatever, not a trans. This was a collective experience from all of these. How can I say? There is a lot of elements that went into the American experience all the way up to 1940. And this is a textbook for Florida. I put in a few samples on your X. And this is the textbook for 1776. I mean, these first couple of chapters, they're reflecting on exactly what we're having right now with censorship and things being withheld from the public that the public find out that, you know, this is not a good thing. This is all happening all over again.
Yeah.
And we have a textbook that brilliantly, brilliantly puts it all together.
Wow. That's amazing. So, yeah. So, I love it. That's, that's fantastic. And again, it is like we have just lost knowledge of civics, like knowledge of just like what the purpose of our government is and why it was instituted and why it has, you know, the structure that it has. Like people just have no idea. And so, yeah, we really do have to get right back to the basics. Plus, I have family from Ipswich, Massachusetts, and I love that little place. It's a beautiful little town, Ipswich, Mass, and it has produced some of the geniuses of all time. Very, very interesting stuff. I'll take a look at that book. Thank you, Angelina. Angelina Santiago on X. Very cool. Let's go to one more call. Thank you for the call, Angelina. Let's go to Air Force One in Georgia. Air Force One, go ahead. You're on the air.
God bless you, Harrison. Nice to talk to you again, sir. Thank you.
Very good to hear from you.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Thank you, Harrison. What I would like to share, and take a break, Harrison, for a minute here. By the way, AlexJonesStore.com, Ultramethylene Blue, fresh mint flavor. It's $29.99. It's on sale.
25% off.
Alex Jones VIP Club, $30, folks. Alex Jones is not funded by George Soros or any of the degenerate shite bags. No, we are crowdfunded. Colostrum, the ultimate gut and brain bundle, $99.99. Ultramethylene Red Sour Strawberry, $39.99. I'm a 51-year-old Gulf War veteran, Harrison, and I have come completely off of the VA meds, and I take these supplements, and I feel like 30 years off my life. I'm 21 years old again.
Wow.
And I'm doing push-ups, and I have my vigor back. And it's just incredible, Harrison. It's incredible. This is for any doubters out there, the modern world survival stat, atomic defense, ultimate CMOS, the Sheila, these products will help you. They're the best products. It's not that crap that you get from Walmart that Chinese glyphosate crap that you
get. Well, and that's kind of the thing, you know, supplement companies can get away, like the bad ones, the not reputable ones, they can get away with, like, you know, they'll say it's energy and they'll say it has all the vitamins and minerals. It's a proprietary blend and it's just caffeine. It's just straight caffeine. Like, you got to be careful when you're buying supplements, which is why you got to go to the AlexJonesStore.com, because we will not survive by selling you less than fantastic quality stuff. Like, we depend on you coming back over and over, so we always give you the best stuff, and we've done the research, and we guarantee that our supplements are the strongest on the market, the most bioavailable, the best, balance of all the different ingredients. We have done that work for you. So if you want to buy tallow, ours is the absolute best. If you want to buy colostrum, ours is the absolute best. Whatever you want to buy, we've done the research. We've sourced the best supply, and then we bring it to you at the best possible discount, the best possible price alone, and then it's usually heavily discounted on top of that. So if you've ever wanted to try any of these things, you know, I know some people, they'll see something we advertise, and they'll think, oh, that's pretty good. I'll go get a different brand. It's like, it's not going to be the same. It's not going to hit you the same. You might buy a different brand and think, oh, Shilajit's no big deal. It's like, well, are you getting the real stuff? Are you getting the real high-quality, thoroughly vetted product? Or are you just getting whatever is, you know, advertised to you on Amazon? No, go to thealexjonesstore.com. You always get the best product available at the best price, thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you for the call, sir.
I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it. And I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at theolivechildstore.com.